Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot.
Hold up.
Cold enough for ya?
Oh, shut up, fat ass.
If you are just waking up and you're wondering,
darling, no place to go.
Well, the test results are in. 21 below sucks. Why don't we dance?
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby.
Christmas Day level traffic, huh, Mary? There's nobody out there.
Yes, a few people.
Well, count them. How many right now?
Can't see. Looks pretty clear.
It's there's an accident on the I coming in. Other than that, there's nobody. So, I would say if you're going to drive, if you have to drive, if you have to come to work, you'll like that part of it. But yeah, it's every bit as cold as we said it would be.
When I drove downtown getting in today, probably around 4:45, there was not one other car.
Yeah, nobody out there.
On Washington.
I saw a few on the Eisenhower, but you know what? I think a lot of people are taking public transportation, but that's going to be a problem this morning.
Well, explain the trains being a mess, because the trains are a mess already, right?
Yeah, there's already, the South Shore trains aren't operating at all, mm-hmm. first off. So sometimes the electric line is an alternate for that, but since they operate on the wires, they're having wire problems on both, South Shore. They tested them overnight, and they weren't working. So they said, no, we're not doing it.
So the overhead wires were frozen?
Yeah, exactly. So South Shore trains aren't operating. Electric line is operating, but there's been quite a few delays already. All other Metro service, they're on the modified schedules today and tomorrow. But now they're saying that up to half-hour delays on all Metro service.
Okay.
So be aware of that, just because, they have to run slower at this time. You saw yesterday there were reports of them having little fires on the tracks just to keep the train, right. Moving.
I think that's cool, by the way.
Yeah, that little fires.
Trash fires are cool.
It's kind of cool.
21st cool. century technology.
Yeah, that's what we got to
fire to the
light them up.
Light them up. So anyway.
Well, I mean, anyway, look, here's the bottom line, right? Everything you heard, it's not hype. It's all true. It's scary cold. It's dangerous cold. People who are outside. And I say this mostly for the people putting themselves in the greatest danger, and that's TV reporters who are standing outside waiting for their live shot.
Yeah, bosses, don't make them do that. We know it's cold.
We know it's cold, and we know people are outside with snot running down their face. We don't need the shot.
Guys, how will I know if it's cold if I don't see Dana Kozloff out there?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Here's how you know it's cold.
Siberian jacket.
It's minus 22. And the wind chill just hit minus 49 at O'Hare.
Oh, so let's stop killing TV reporters who don't have enough seniority to have a newsroom gig at this hour.
Then the poor, police and firemen have to go and rescue them. Back. They don't want to be out here.
I'm sorry that they don't have high enough seniority that they're getting sent out.
They're getting sent out.
And by the way,
who's the new one? Send them outside.
The intern.
I checked in earlier with Anchorage, Alaska. I thought just for giggles I would check in with Antarctica.
Yeah, it's warmer.
The research center there, it's now minus five, and the wind chill is minus 27 in Antarctica.
So now, here's the thing, though. Full exposure, full disclosure, full transparency. It's summer in Antarctica. Summer. South of the equator.
Well, in Alaska this morning, it's 33 degrees, and we know that's not summer there.
What about Greenland? Isn't that supposed to be really, really cold? Iceland's not as cold as Greenland, right? That's what everybody says.
Yeah, Greenland is pretty cold.
Yeah.
One of my best friends in life called from Minneapolis last night, and the wind chill was 65 below, but he thought we'd have him beat this morning.
Yeah, in Nuuk, Greenland this morning, right now, it is 18 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow. That's nice.
Heat wave.
We'd take that. Come on.
Go
coffee
tanning.
Weather.
It could hit 50 on Monday, which means we'd have a 100-degree swing between what it feels like right now and what it might feel like.
The text line is saying that a lot of people in McHenry, 1,300 homes don't have power.
Twin Lakes
also, no power.
That's not good.
Yeah, and Comet, keep us up to date on that, and we'll be checking in with Comet as well. I don't recognize that voice. Anyone recognize that voice? Who is the woman that was just talking?
She looks awful tan.
Welcome back.
I recognized her laugh as soon as she left.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Had fun?
Yeah, we had fun.
Full report on that later.
Mary's
time
back. For Mary to have fun.
Mary was trapped for an extra day in Mexico and wanted to file charges because it threw her schedule off.
Oh, my gosh.
But we'll get to all that in a complete cold report. Just a second as well. Steve, I assume that's what's most of the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we're going to have not only what's happening with the cold weather, we'll give you some current weather information as well and some school closings on our website. Remember, you can always find those at WGNradio.com. Navigate over to the Emergency Closing Center, all coming up at 6:30.
And 27 below is the air temperature in Plymouth, Minnesota, suburb of Minneapolis. But the wind chill's 52 below. We got them nipped. Got that going for us. Complete cold report. Nanook of the Kavanaugh. Thought I had a cute little name in my head, and it's already gone. Nanook of the Kaufman standing by in just a second. Wait, are you the judge, or are you the guy sitting there doing the show?
I'm the guy doing the show.
Do you like beer, Justin?
He'll do a complete cold report in just a second.
Do you want me to break in as soon as the wind chill hits minus 50?
I thought we were at 50.
No, minus 49 right now.
Yeah, of course I want you to break in. It's huge news.
Of course.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Let's begin with the obvious. It's a cold weather report. Justin, let's pretend you're outside. Is it cold out there?
It's cold outside.
Oh, well, tell us what's happening.
Minus 21 degrees in Chicago. Wind chills up to 50 degrees below zero. Over 1,500 flights have been canceled around the country, including 500-plus at O'Hare, Midway, Amtrak. South Shore trains are canceled. Sorry, Indiana. Metro running on a modified schedule like it's a holiday. Not like Christmas, but more like Casimir Pulaski Day. CTA delays on the red line, the purple line, and the yellow line. There's still a yellow line?
Andy, you ride the yellow line, don't
you? Once in a while, yeah.
Area schools canceled. CPS closed Thursday as well. All universities suspended classes till Thursday because, well, college kids dress dumb.
Now, fill me in on that, Dan Duck. University classes all over canceled tomorrow as well?
There are questions that they will be open at Thursday at noon.
Okay.
So that's so right now.
Check your university.
36 hours. Check your local university. Mm-hmm. All county government offices closed, but info on warming sites are online. Court is canceled to all the criminals out there. One more day of freedom.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's
good
a big deal. That's going to now catching up from that's going to be a nightmare. Yeah.
Most museums and the hit musical Hamilton canceled. Disney on Ice canceled. Hamilton on Ice not created yet.
Hamilton on Ice would be good.
Several Chicago restaurants.
Why can't you have Disney on Ice when it's cold?
It's cold.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Is that Scott Hamilton on Ice?
Scott
that
Hamilton
makes
on Ice. That's still open. That's still happening.
Most importantly, did you see that Lou Malnati's canceled their delivery people evening?
That's coming up on the cold report. Stay with us.
Several Chicago restaurants, right?
Several restaurants closed, including Lou Malnati's and the grocery store Trader Joe's. So that's
Is that all Trader Joe's?
In the area are closed. So that's a huge bummer for the procrastinators. It looks like you're going to have to be eating those old crackers in the back of the cabinet.
This is why they tell you to go to the grocery store and stock up on bread and milk right here.
But this is why the preservatives are so great.
That's right.
Because you may have something in the back of your pantry that you bought when Reagan was president that's still good.
You're going to be eating that today. Deliveries have been suspended for much of the area, including Apt, and of course, surge pricing on all ride shares because, well, they can.
Can you
wait a second? Did you just hear what he said?
Yes,
including Apt.
Yep.
Yeah, I know that's amazing.
If you
stop Apt, I mean that's a big. Well, the two most amazing things I've heard is that Apt's not delivering today, and there's no mail.
Those are the two things. I'm going to offer the service. If you were really counting on getting your new washer and dryer or a new oven today, and you're very sad about it,
you should Facebook Live doing.
I would be happy to consult you.
But you sure don't need the refrigerator.
Yeah, you don't need the refrigerator.
But there is good news.
But I'll help those people.
Hey, Pete, along with finding out where we need to drive, could you also tell me what an Uber would cost at 7 a.m. this morning?
It's already up at least $5. I saw that at 4 o'clock this morning. But the good news, social media, still open. So keep posting screenshots of your weather app. That's been the Cold Report. I'm Justin.
Nicely done by you. By the way, I posted the first shot of the digital radio screen, I believe, on Instagram this morning at 21 below.
Mm. Oof.
Yeah. That, now, there'll be millions of those.
Yeah. And the other thing is transplants who are out in the West Coast or maybe down south somewhere showing pictures of their feet on the beach.
Yeah, eat it.
Knock it off.
Oh, my sister did that.
Yeah,
I'm going to cut off her feet when she gets home from the Virgin Islands.
I think that's true.
I did not post any photos of my trip. Though my trip was less relaxing because once I found out that my plans were being changed, I could not enjoy it.
So it took the modest amount of fun you would normally have and just sucked it up.
Patrick was singing a rap, on one of the nights, and he's like, yeah, da da da. And he goes, but Mary, the bedtime police might suck the fun out of it. And I was like, wow.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
Hey, that funny kid. All right, let me run through some of the other news here. Alderman Solis resigned as chairman of the zoning committee, not as alderman, but as chairman of zoning, and the Tribune's reporting that all the top salacious details from the wiretap are all out there, leading to more and more of Solis' troubles. He also paid himself hundreds of thousands of dollars from his own campaign fund.
Wow.
He's going to go to jail. It's a matter of how long and a matter of how much they value the cooperation he gave, not just in the Ed Burke situation.
This seems
but
to be
the
new thing where an alderman will go. I mean, Solis is already not running, so it doesn't matter. But Burke did the same thing. I stepped down from the finance committee. Mm-hmm. I stepped down from the zoning committee. I stepped down from the committee. I'm sorry. Can we move on? Can we move on? How about
meanwhile,
my office?
That's the one we're looking for.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the five families of the five aldermen who are apparently leading the crime syndicate that is city council, they've yet to have their big meeting.
Yeah. All right,
it's a weird one. Next, Empire star Jesse Smollett was attacked while walking in Streeterville on Monday night. Chicago police were investigating as a hate crime and a racially charged assault. I don't get a lot of this because they said at one point a rope was tied around his neck. First off, who's carrying a rope around?
And with bleach. Someone had a chemical, which seemed to be bleach, that they poured on.
So it seems like they were looking for him because there's some preparation that goes into that sort of an attack.
There are a lot of, obviously when you read the stories, a lot of questions, but just a terrible story, that right now the police are calling a possible hate crime. There's questions about was this an anonymous attack? Was it, did they know the people?
Were
they looking for him? Were they looking for
somebody?
Well, the hate crime thing is just, those are just labels. If somebody's carrying rope around and they find the nearest black guy, that's
crazy.
A problem.
And then the second interview he had with the police, he mentioned that they said this is MAGA country, which it's not. This is Streeterville, downtown Chicago. It's not MAGA country.
Yeah. And
But that was a second interview that wasn't sent to the police in the first interview with Jesse Smollett.
I don't know that helps.
No.
Yeah. Next. The FBI concluded there is no motive known for the shooter in Las Vegas that killed 58 people at a country music concert at Mandalay Bay. And beyond frustrating, they say, in all likelihood, we will never know why
he
did it.
Yeah.
There's no words for that. Next. The NFL canceled the Maroon 5 press conference before the Super Bowl. The band said they want the performance to speak for itself. In other words, the band, through their management, doesn't want to answer tough questions on why they agreed to perform.
Mm-hmm. How can you do that? You just cancel it. Nah, we'll let the music speak for itself. Okay.
What does that mean?
Interview the guitar.
Yeah. I like Adam Levine. He's a great guy, and he generally doesn't back away from fights, so it's a weird thing.
Seems like it's probably an NFL thing.
And then this. Just based on that, I should have won an Oscar. That's me from Grumpy Old Man. Is The Rock running for president? You're the biggest Rock fan on the planet. Has he called you?
He's at Sundance right now, and they asked him about politics, and he said he's interested. He doesn't have experience, but if he had the right people around him, he would mull a run for president or an office, a high office. Not for 2020, though, Steve. This would be in the future. And I'm not saying that I would, but I would definitely think about maybe a volunteer.
No, please.
Oh. I'd be happy to help in any way possible.
Joe and I would go door to door.
You two would be fighting over being his comms director.
Joe, who is wearing a Hawaiian shirt today because it's freezing, wanted to bring the warmth.
Best bit ever.
Yeah. And by the way, the experience is apparently not needed. That's the new thing.
Yeah, I know.
In the last 2 years, we've seen no experience.
4 years ago, he'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
No way.
Now you're
like, I think he's got some great ideas on healthcare.
Also, back to Super Joe, did you know, Steve, that he produced Roe Show last night?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been working nonstop since yesterday at 6 a.m. Did you go home last night?
I did not.
Yeah, okay, good. He's running
up. No, I did.
Oh, you really did?
Yeah, I went home.
He had to go home and get the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, because I know you didn't have clothes, but you could have gone next door, couldn't you?
Good point.
Well, he could have gone next door. Also, my sister and her dog offered to host Joe.
Oh, that's so nice.
I wouldn't do that. You wake up in the middle of the night, you'd be resetting your jaw. You wouldn't believe the pain. 6:31 headlines right now. Steve is standing by with all the updates on all the troubles, and we'll continue to do that for you as well. And by the way,
that's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Lou Manfredini is standing by in a special preschool edition. Oh, there is no school. And a special morning edition of Lou Manfredini. You got specific problems this morning? We'd like to help you with Lou's help. Call in now, 312-981-7200. We'll get to you in just a few minutes.
Kitchen faucet runs all night. I screwed the screw too tight. Wife's complaining, water heater will not heat. And by the way, should the water smell like feet? No.
312-981-7200, calls or texters. It's a special before school. Oh, there is no school edition of Lou Manfredini. Good morning, Lou.
Is it the water smells like beets or feet?
I believe what he's saying was feet. Yeah. Because your water should never smell like feet.
No. Right now, the water hopefully is still running.
Yes. Okay, let's start there. If you're getting something resembling a trickle when your faucets are open, are you in trouble?
Well, as long as we're still getting some kind of flow out of there, we're good. A quick little note. I've been paying attention to a lot of different news outlets and a lot of different people that are on the air. You know, TV stations are scrambling to find people to put on television to give us winter tips. And, boy, some of the stuff that people are saying is just nuts.
Okay. Tell me a few that are wrong.
Yeah. So one of the things is this is our houses are not designed at all for this kind of weather.
Right.
And so for most of us, it's going to be very difficult for a home to keep up, meaning that if your furnace is working properly and your boiler is working properly, there's many that are within the listening area of this radio station that are going, hey, I got my thing set at 72 degrees, my thermostat, mm-hmm. and this house is only 66 degrees. That's it. Don't go over there and turn that thing up to 80 degrees. It's not a gas pedal. It's not going to heat up any faster. So keeping it at a consistent temperature and then helping the system along will aid in getting to the temperature that you need. And some of those things to help are: check the arrangement of your furniture and make sure you're not blocking any vents. If you have radiators, make sure that furniture is not jammed up against a radiator, not allowing it to breathe. I cannot stress enough the use of ceiling fans or just a fan. If people don't have ceiling fans, then if you have a box fan or a small oscillating fan, put it in the room that you're going to spend the most time in, point it towards the corner, and turn it on. It'll blow air up that corner. It'll help to circulate it. I've mentioned with you, Steve, that the air temperature in the ceiling level of your home is 5 to 7 degrees warmer than where you're sitting on the couch.
So blow that hot air around.
Which way, Lou, do you put your ceiling fans?
I don't care.
Doesn't matter right now.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, you know, in a perfect world, you have it spin so it's not blowing down on you.
Gotcha.
For most ceiling fans, again, they don't all turn the same way. That's clockwise. When you're looking up at it, it's clockwise.
Yep.
And on low, that's all. And the thing is that when I tell you to do this and people will turn this on, they go, it doesn't really feel any different. It will in about an hour.
Right.
Right.
And if you have a thermostat set at 72 and your temperature is 66, it doesn't mean your furnace is broken.
Right. As long as we're feeling heat coming out of the vents, wherever it may be. I mean, here's the thing. You know, if you talk to HVAC folks, they'll tell you that homes are designed, you know, with the HVAC systems to run negative 10, negative 5 degrees. That's for a home that's really well insulated. The windows aren't leaky. You know, everything's in good shape. A lot of us don't live in that kind of house, you know. And so this is extreme. There's no question about it. The other thing is I've been mentioning prior to this about furnace filters.
Mm-hmm.
I did this on my own furnace. I checked the furnace filter. Of course, it's some kind of specialty filter that I have, and I swapped it out.
Because you're a big show-off.
I'm Lou Manfredini.
Right.
You know?
got the Manfredini kind of special deal. Filter. Got the prototype from the filter people.
But, like, today, no one's going to go out, right? And mm-hmm. if you go down there right now and you pull that filter out and you're like, ooh, this thing's kind of dirty, just leave it out. Let it run for a couple days. It's fine.
It's going to be fine.
Not going to hurt anything.
What is the dumbest thing you've seen as or heard as a tip that you go, people just have to know this is wrong, so I'm going to tell them?
Turn the main water valve off to your house so that if the water freezes, the pipes don't burst. Don't do that. If we don't trickle water and we turn the water off, that means there's charged water in the line in your house. And if you've got outside pipes, if you have a house that has pipes on the outside walls, it will freeze. and it will burst. It doesn't matter that it's not on on the you know, that the main valve's not on. Now, one thing is, I do want people to know where that main valve is. God forbid that you do have a pipe that bursts. I did a quick little Facebook Live thing last night, and I had people telling me, oh, yeah, I still have the hoses connected on the outside of my house.
Yeah.
That is a pipe waiting to break.
Yep, that happened to me.
Yeah. And here's the thing,
not
Steve.
This time.
And Justin, you won't know that pipe's broken until the spring.
I spend my whole summer waiting to take those hoses off. Like, I cannot stand hoses on the house.
The hose was taken off, but the water to that hose was not shut off, and then the pipe busted.
And obviously, if your hose is still connected now, now's not the time to do it. But learn from this. All right, let me run through some text, Lou. Switch plate on the exterior wall is moist. What's going on there?
High humidity in the house, cold temperatures on the outside because it's a metal pipe. I wouldn't worry about it. What you can do temporarily, if you want, cover it with saran wrap.
Lou, I used my snowblower on my lawn to clear away snow for my little dog. Maybe not a good idea for most, but it worked for us. I heard a dog outside today. Sounded like it was dying, and it was a dog that was let out by a neighbor just to use the bathroom. And a dog went, are you freaking crazy? Let me back in.
Yeah, my two dogs this morning, when I left early this morning, I looked at them, and I'm like, guys, want to go outside? And they kind of put their head up, and I'm like, no way.
You're the human. Why are you asking me that question?
No way.
What's your backup plan, Lou?
They'll just do it on the rug. No. For the dogs... I've talked about this before. I use this thing called Musher's Secret on their pads, which is like this little balm to take them outside. And it'll be a quick walk around the block, real fast. They're like, I got to get done with this so I can get back inside.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they know. And by the way, there are dogs right now who are talking to other dogs going, look, man, I'll take the punishment if I drop one on the carpet because I'm not going outside.
Lou, two things that I've seen a lot on text and on social media. One, power outages. We're getting some power outages up on the some of the northern suburbs and into Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is my biggest concern.
And what do you do in that case if the power goes out and it obviously has an impact on how you heat your home? If you're without a generator or backup generator, what's the course of action for somebody?
Okay, this is a huge problem because no electricity, you're not going to light anything. Even a natural gas furnace won't ignite because the system to ignite it all is electric and the blowers and whatnot. Maybe you have a fireplace. If you have a fireplace and you have some firewood, you could use that as some temporary heat. If you have a gas fireplace, you may be able to ignite that with a lighter and turn that on as some supplemental heat. Not a fan of using any kind of gas fed furnace, like a kerosene heater inside. It gives off too much
the fumes and stuff.
It gives off too much fumes. Without electricity, if you have city water, I would turn on every faucet at that point to trickle because you hopefully still have pressure on those lines to keep the water flowing, at least to stop that. Close everything up, keep everything as tight as possible, and if a generator is possible, the key with the generator is you have to do some wiring to get the furnace to run. It's not, a furnace doesn't have a plug, and so it would take some special skill of someone to be able to open up the furnace and run it into, a generator to get it to run. So this is a real issue. It's one of my biggest concerns with this cold weather was if we lost power, that would be a big problem.
And then another thing that people are concerned about is they're waking up right now, and they probably all night heard this, is the house little noises and creaks and bombs and noises that they...
Yeah, that's a burglar.
They feel like something might be breaking.
It's a burglar.
It happened in my house.
I'm it's sure. a burglar.
Yeah. What do you,
should I be
what
scared?
Do you
is it a burglar?
Them?
Yeah, the house sounds, it's a problem, especially frame homes, the constriction of all the lumber that is built inside there, the lack of insulation. It's just a natural thing. Stuff is going to creak and move. You're going to be fine. It isn't going to be anything that I would worry about. Nothing's going to break. You may notice if you're walking outside and you have a deck or you have a, you're walking out to a patio, you may hear some things. It's okay. We're going to get through this. Thankfully, the forecast is we just have a couple of days with this. And if you hunker down and you really
50 by Monday.
Yeah, you pay attention to what's going on with everything. The furnace in particular, your boiler in particular, that it's operating properly. and really kind of pay attention to that portion of it. I'm not a fan of turning the thermostat up to overheat the place. Just keep it at a consistent...
And humidifier 20%, you said.
I'm sorry?
Run your humidifier 20% if you have a whole
house
humidifier.
Yeah, I can't stress the humidity part of it, too. You know, you can crank that thing up, but because the air is so dry, you won't need a lot. And if you don't have a humidifier, you can take a you know, pot of water on the stove and boil it, and that'll add moisture to it as well. I was talking to my friend Rich Dykstra. We were trading emails, and he's like, hey, here's some tips you can use. And it's a lot of stuff that I said, but one of his tips that he said is very important is don't walk around the house naked.
No, it's a very strong tip.
I can't wait. I'm going to send my husband a text right now to say...
To walk around naked?
No, not about...
They just got back from vacation. They don't need that.
We were on a kid trip, so nobody was naked. He cranked up the heat to over 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
Last night when we got home, and yeah. It didn't seem like a good idea, and now I can say Lou said we shouldn't do that.
Well, and you know the thing, Mary, is that you know, when you hear me talk about this, and you know we've talked on the air for a long time, and I talk about getting this furnace serviced on a regular basis. This is the kind of scenario where it's working so hard that it just doesn't stop. And you know, the thing with modern day furnaces now, they're very sophisticated. 30 years ago, they did, you know, a couple things before the heat came out. Now they have these computer systems to check the venting and the intake and all this other kind of stuff. It probably does 15 or 16 things before the heat actually comes out of the vent. If something's not right because it's so sophisticated, then it shuts itself down, and then we have problems. There's igniters that light the burners that can get crusty, and that's the kind of thing that an HVAC guy will... a technician will come out and change when it ages, and this is something under a hard use that can go bad. And this is a $30 part, and you know, had you had regular maintenance for $100, you would have spent the same $30. But now, when they come out in this weather and they'll be so busy, it's a $300. And the risk and the you know, the panic you have of, oh my gosh, I don't have any heat, I need someone here right now.
Yeah, and that doesn't work that way, which brings me to the last thing. Keep a full tank of gas in your car, because if your heat goes in your house, you can get in a car and drive around and stay warm, or go to a friend's house. And if you're going to warm your car up and you have an attached garage, never do it with the garage door closed.
Yeah,
but everything that on the internet will tell you, never do it at all. I'm not so concerned about the car and how it runs. I'm concerned about how cold I am when I get in the car. So
right.
I open the garage door, start the car for 5 minutes, and go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I have at this time, Lou, and thank you for your help.
I'm around today. If stuff comes up, you guys need to get a hold of me. And I mean, I think that the other big thing, too, is if you've got people you know that are living alone.
Check them.
Check on them. And if you know, here's the thing, too. If you know that there's a older gentleman or lady that lives across the street and you don't want to bother them, look at their chimney. As long as we see some smoke coming out of that chimney, we know they got heat.
Yeah, and by the way, so what, they yell at you and tell you to get off their
exactly.
yard. Go check on them. Knock on the door.
I agree.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
We'll call Lou again in 4 minutes when we have other questions.
There's a lot of questions coming in, too. I feel like this could be a six-hour show.
Well, then you're doing the last two.
Yeah, I know.
Pat Thomasulo will join me in just a second to plug the fact that he's still going to do that big Saturday night wang-dang-doodle that he has going on.
Yeah, it's so great.
Power Restored, the ComEd people getting it done already to a good chunk of the northern suburbs who have lost power. More to come on that as well.
The people is back, baby.
Biggest show business news of the week by far is Pat Thomasulo is not going to be homeless for another season, as his Saturday night festivities have been renewed. So let's take a little show business break here and congratulate our friend Pat Thomasulo from Channel 9. Saturday night. You've survived. You've been picked up. You're a show business success.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys put more effort into that introduction than I think my own staff has put into our return this week. That was something. Somebody edited together music and everything.
Yeah, we're not screwing around over here like you dopes at Channel 9. We're playing it, man. We're going.
It's funny. I will undoubtedly take your congratulations and your well wishes and all that, as I've gotten from many people on the renewal of season 2. But let me make something abundantly clear. They already spent money on this show, so I'm going to be doing this show until I'm the last person in that office. So I'm happy with it, but they're going to have me doing this show until I'm 90.
So the thing we need to know is that Man of the People has a commitment well beyond, and this is just publicity stunts when they talk about renewals.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Is it working?
So far,
on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, your proudest moment of the first season was what?
My proudest moment are you forcing me to be sincere?
Well, let me help you out. Let me cheat for you.
Sure.
Because the shows are all good.
Yeah.
But when you did the Bozo reunion,
sure,
on night one, I mean, that was inspired. That was very strong.
So we peaked on night one, is what you're saying, and
kinda,
then it was all downhill from there.
Kinda, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Pat, I have an idea for this next season about the Bozo thing. You know, you talk to people that never got to be on Bozo.
Right.
That's what you did. I was thinking you should talk to some people that got to be on Bozo, and it changed the trajectory of their life.
Wow.
You know, like, you came back to school, and you were like, I was on Bozo. Next thing you know,
right,
I'm going to Harvard. Now I'm like, I have my own law firm. You know, like, find those people. Let's see what they did.
Wow. I'm amazed that you think the Bozo show had that much of an influence on the trajectory of somebody's life. But if they're out there, I would love to find them.
Now, here's the other thing. How hard is Phil Rosenthal trying to get on the show by doing his critical review of you in the Tribune? And don't act like you didn't read it, because I know you read every word.
No. Somebody forwarded that to me. That was the one that was after the first show. I don't know. I've never heard from that guy, honestly. I don't think I've ever met the guy. I don't think I've ever heard from the guy. To tell you the truth, I don't know that I read anything that the guy's ever written except for what was sent to me after the first episode.
Well, he's been around. He's been around.
Come on, baby.
Well, anytime. You know, Saturday night is when I really peak.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin.
Pat, you know, I love the show, and one of the things is just so much intensity. You have such a small writing staff, and with yourself, you're putting jokes together and doing pieces out in the field. What have you learned going into season two, just when it comes to the workflow of a show like this?
What have we learned? Well, we learned that we should take 6 weeks off between the first and second seasons. That's I think the main thing we learned. We spent the last 6 weeks shooting a ton of stuff, just to try and get ahead as much as we can, because when we started the show last year, we had a staff of four people. And I think now we're at six, so we got two more. But we did 38 episodes last year, which is not sustainable.
It's crazy.
So we have a little bit of a bigger staff, and we lessen the number of episodes we're going to do. And
I don't want to upset you, but the CLTV simulcast of the 9 o'clock hour of this show has 57 people on that staff. So I think you're getting screwed.
I believe it. I believe it. Yeah, no, I think that's the main thing we've learned is that, you know, as much as you can get ahead of it, you try to, but it's hard because it's a topical show.
I think you're killing it, man. I really do. And the show is always funny. It's a great little tone setter for the rest of your Saturday night. But the bottom line is it funny or is it not funny? It's funny. If you like funny, watch it. If you don't like funny, then don't watch it because it's always funny.
You could always hate watch it.
I don't care if you love watch it or hate watch it. Just as long as you watch it. That's all I care about.
Describes half of this audience.
Let me put those asses in the seats, baby.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, speaking of asses, if people want tickets to the show, how long is your waiting list? Are you approaching Bozo-like levels?
We released tickets for the first five episodes that we're doing, and I think we're selling. I don't think we're sold out of the last two, but we're getting there. So they just go to manofthepeople.com/tickets and sign up. They're free, but we tape on Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock. So a lot of times people glom up the tickets, and then they're like, I can't get the day off from work, and then the tickets go unused. Don't do that.
Right.
Only take the tickets if you're going to use the tickets.
Right. Don't
but
make
they are free, and they're very easy to get. And it's a fun time, man. It's a fun time to come and hang out
no
at
question.
The old historic studios.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On this fake excitement that you've already been renewed that you already knew. Congratulations on all that.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a shock to me, too.
That's Pat Tomasulo from your Morning Nine.
Justin. I have some breaking news, everybody. Windchill is minus 52.
All right.
Yeah, so we're there.
There it is.
Go nuts, everybody.
Congratulations.
Justin
that's a good
has
number.
Taught his son Miles to hate watch television.
Yeah. You know, he's taught me.
That's nice at 11.
He's
good for you.
Me. That's the,
good for you.
It's the only way we can watch
we're
sports. Yeah. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
That's the president calling. You just tell him I'll call him back.
He's been pretty persistent.
All right, okay, I can't take that. Goodbye. President Trump, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Cochran. Is it cold enough for you? I hear Chicago's colder than a stare from Melania. It's colder than Nancy Pelosi's shrill heart. Yet, frankly, the only place colder than the Midwest right now is inside the Clintons' master bedroom in Chappaqua.
Well, thank you for joining us on this beautiful day, sir.
Oh, and hey, by the way, you weren't listening to everything I said when you tried FaceTiming me earlier, did you?
I got to be honest, I almost never listen to anything you say, but no, not at all.
Oh, good. So that means you didn't hear everything I said about invading Venezuela.
What? Hold on a second.
Never mind. Ask me a question, Cochran.
Mr. President, the government is back up and running until February 15th. A, do you think it'll stay open? B, are we going to have another shutdown? C, what about the wall?
These are all tremendous questions. Not really, but I'll answer them anyway. As far as another shutdown goes, that's not my call. Not my call.
What are you talking about?
That's all going to be in the liver spot-ridden hands of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And let me tell you something. Yes. In a way, I'm sort of hoping for another shutdown. I've been waiting for some extra time to binge-watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime. I hear that show's fantastic.
Sir, you hate Amazon. Jeff Bezos, remember?
Oh, right. Make that Game of Thrones. I need to catch up.
Listen, your former buddy, Roger Stone, just got indicted for obstruction, making false statements. He's got a stupid Nixon tattoo. He was arraigned yesterday. Is Roger in trouble? Is he going to go to jail?
Roger has absolutely nothing to worry about. Nothing. He never did anything that was against the law. The key word there is law. What he did do was he just violated a couple of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, he was just bearing false witness and tampering, which is like commandment number 6, I think. And obstruction of justice is just a fancy term for one of those thou shall not covet ones.
I don't know that that's accurate, sir.
Trust me, if Roger goes to jail, Cochran, it won't be because of me. It'll be because he stole those ridiculous glasses from Harry Potter. Seriously, he looks like a refugee from Hogwarts.
I can't argue with that at all. All right, 2020. Let's talk about it for a second. We're hearing reports that Hillary Clinton, even though the thing came out yesterday, she's not going to run. Look, she's not closed the door at another run in 2020.
Hey, you know what they say, third time's the ultimate embarrassment. Now, frankly, I think it's possible that she's thinking about it, but I'm not going to believe it until the official announcement is made by her husband Bill on his Tinder account. Now, let me tell you something, Cochran. I would absolutely love it if she went at it again with Frumpty Email Dumpty, okay? I hope she does. I hope she runs. She'll be older. You know, we might have to change the chant at my rallies from lock her up to help her up. But if she does run, I have the perfect ad campaign for her. It's just like that Dos Equis beer commercial. Crooked Hillary is the least interesting woman in the world.
Well, you're on fire today, Mr. President. Now we got former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz talking about running as an independent. You've already said he doesn't have the guts to run. Well, what's your big story on Howard Schultz?
Howard Schultz, who better to represent everyday Americans than the guy who invented the $9 Frappuccino? Sad. Seriously, does he think America's really going to go for a billionaire who's arrogant, has no political experience, totally tone-deaf, and an egomaniac?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Not a chance. Schultz's empire was built on lies. Lies. I mean, have you seen the size of a Starbucks tall?
The tall is small.
Lies. And besides, I don't trust the guy who calls his employees baristas. A barista sounds like a member of a Mexican drug cartel. Really does.
You're very busy thinking, haven't you? And now I hear you're going to do a sit-down interview before the big game on Sunday. That's their traditional sit-down with the network doing the Super Bowl. This is CBS this time. And Face the Nation anchor Margaret Brennan is doing it. Is that right?
Now, look, I only agreed to do this fake news CBS interview on two conditions. We don't discuss anything that has to do with Russia, and Margaret has to wear a New England Patriots cheerleader outfit for the entire segment.
Well, that's... Listen, Mr. President, the big game on Sunday. Let's do this. Who are you picking to win?
Of course I like the Patriots. I mean, not only is Tom Brady the greatest of all time, he has the second greatest head of hair of all time. Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
It's all real.
Thank you for calling, Mr. President.
Later, loser.
Catchphrase.
Here it is. Later, loser.
Hey, Steve, can I give away a two-night Chicago Dibs package? Stay at the Hilton Chicago right now.
Do they have heat there?
They have heat. Call Dibs on over 200 of savings in Chicago this winter at one of three downtown Chicago Hilton hotels, the Drake, Hilton Chicago, and Palmer House. Visit HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com to book today. You have to use this by February 28th, so don't call if you can't use it.
What's temperature right now? Steve Grzanich, what's temperature?
The official reading right now at O'Hare is minus 23. The wind chill is minus 52.
Want to go 23? Call her 23?
23, yep.
Call her 23 for every negative degree that's out there. Call her 23.
Two nights stay at a Hilton in Chicago, and you have to use it by February 28th.
Great is that. That's a great thing to give away today.
Visit HiltonsOfChicagoDibs.com.
Who is the smartest idiot in Chicago? Pat Brady. I'll explain why in just a second. Who's the smartest idiot in Chicago? It's my friend Pat Brady. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Mary, everybody.
Congratulations on your title. You walked from the East Bank Club to 303 East Wacker when every warning said 5 minutes outside could get you frostbite. What's the matter with you?
Well, I wanted to experience it. You can't say you went through the coldest day if you didn't go outside.
So. When did you realize it was a dumb idea?
Beyond the point of no return.
What about State Street?
I was thinking, man, I wish the studio was still over.
Why don't you try to hop down into the Pedway?
You know what? I figured if I start, I'm going to finish.
Yeah.
But so I did go Lower Wacker.
Lower Wacker probably warmed it up to about 10 below.
But they stopped the wind. The wind is what the killer. I'm serious, and I'm in pretty good shape. I'm like, I'm going to try this. If I had to walk maybe as far as Soldier Field, I would have been dead.
Can you use your experience in being an idiot to tell people not to do that today?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either, again. In fact, I got a cabbie out front. I go, you're going to be here in about an hour. And she goes, yeah. So it'll probably be an $800 cab ride, but it'll be
who cares? Once again, don't do that.
Yeah, that was bad.
Not a good idea. The closest place you can drive where it's 1 degree is Mason, Ohio. Okay. Mason, Ohio is 1 degree. It's not going to last.
I think Pete said that's about 5 hours away.
5 hours away. I said, where's the closest place you can drive that's above freezing? Dallas, Texas. Going to take a little while to get there, but Dallas is 37 right now.
By the time you get here, there, it probably won't be cold here anymore, right?
Yeah. They said by the end of the weekend, it's going to be 40s again.
So. Look, you survived today. You're going to look forward to 2 tomorrow, and we'll be all good by Friday. Saturday in the high 30s, Sunday in the mid-40s, and Monday maybe 50 degrees. Again, if you miss the math, 52 below now, wind chill, 50 degrees possible on Monday. That's 102-degree difference in feel in, what, 5 days?
Did we break the record?
We broke all the records, man. All the records. They're all gone now. So, oh, the most valuable person on the planet is standing by. Pardon me. It's Rick. It's not Rick. It's Rich. Rich Gaitis, acting executive director of the Office of Emergency Management Communications.
Checking in again.
I know you don't have time for awards and stuff, but we obviously needed to check in with you. Other than my idiot friend Pat walking outside, what else do you want to recommend people don't do or do better?
Well, if you can stay home, stay home. If you must go out, make sure you're layered up and prepared for it. If you must get in your car, you know, everybody's been saying numerous times, but make sure your gas tank is full. Make sure everybody knows where you're going, and make sure your phone is charged in case you have to make an emergency call.
Hey, Rich, yesterday we checked in with you. We talked about what the city needed to do to get ready. How's the morning been for you at the Office of Emergency Management?
Well, it's still early on. You know, like you said, we're not going to be out of this for another 48 hours and really another 72 hours where we could start taking a breath here. So we're fully engaged. We're going to stay fully engaged until the situation passes and maintains what we would call a normal Chicago winter.
Do you guys pay attention to people who might be on the streets, emergency rooms, entrance numbers, things like that?
Oh, yeah, all of the above. You know, we've been fully engaged with our homeless population. You know, really since last week, letting them know what the temperatures are going to get down to. And, you know, as you heard the mayor say yesterday, if you can't get to the city will come to you. So we've put CTA warming buses with DFSS staff to engage our homeless population and try to get them warmed up wherever they're at.
The sad thing is, I mean, there's between 5,000 and 6,000 homeless people in Chicago. I mean, you can't physically force somebody to get in a vehicle and go somewhere, can you?
Yeah, like I said, if you won't come to the city will come to you. So that's really been our message with the homeless population. We just want to keep everybody safe. And there's enough city facilities around the city. There's well over 200 to keep everybody warm.
Rich, just in the event, we're seeing this some in the northern suburbs about outages, power outages. Are you in constant contact with the utility companies, gas company, and the electric companies to make sure you're on top of power outages?
Absolutely. We've activated our emergency operations center yesterday, and People's Gas and ComEd is upstairs with us right now as we speak. And like I said, no major outages throughout the city. So far, we're in pretty good shape.
You UPS drivers, be careful out there, everybody in the city. You know how ridiculous it is, but no matter where you're listening this morning, in McHenry, I know there's still a bunch of people without power. They're working on it as fast as they can. God bless you, ComEd workers out there as well. Rich, stop taking our call. Get back to work.
All right. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
It's Rich Gaitis. All right, we'll come back, Pat. Alderman Solis has got some splaining to do, Lucy. He had himself a rough reveal yesterday.
Did you ever think that Viagra would be the
headline?
The bribe.
Well, the cost of Viagra. The cost of Viagra would be one of your decision points. We've got massage. We've got happy endings. We've got Viagra. We've got sex money and Oprah's former farm. All in one story involving aldermen that may go all the way to Springfield and possibly Mike Madigan. You'll explain all of it to us coming up shortly. And later on, before the hour's complete, Eric Edelstein will join us. And, yeah, we got a couple of Trump things we need to hit as well.
And Doc Most on some cold tips.
Oh, that's right. We're going to talk to Doc quickly, too, just to make sure you're okay. We're going to pack all that in between now and 8 somehow. Stand by for all of that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pete Zimmerman is in studio. Pete's the one who did the research on where we're going. Before we leave, Pete, unlike Channel 9 and until Paul Rennie or Todd Manley stop us, 8 o'clock when Dean's on, I'd like to go out and test the theory of does water freeze or turn instantly into steam outside 303 East Wacker when the wind chill's 50 below.
I'm on it.
Okay.
Didn't you just complain in the 6 o'clock hour about sending reporters out into the cold? You just did the whole thing. Like, I can't believe they still do
that.
He
pointed out that the people that don't have hierarchy get sent out there. So, Pete, you better borrow some clothes from Ryan Burrow.
Let's be honest. Plenty up here. Whatever I said earlier in the 6 o'clock hour doesn't matter.
Can I be referred to as a reporter, though, from now on.
You can. You know what? I'm going to put you in charge of freezing.
Let's call you senior weather reporter. How's that?
Oh, that is amazing.
Contributor, not reporter.
All right, so I don't know.
Update my LinkedIn profile.
That song came from that great Full of House episode where the Beach Boys played on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, didn't see it. So will you do a little research and find out if it should be room temperature or what? We want a legitimate scientific answer here. And again, the question is, does it freeze before it hits the ground when you toss it up in the air, or does it turn instantly into steam?
And that's my picture. So if you break it, you bought it, buddy.
Yeah.
Really? Very expensive.
That looks like Bed Bath & Beyond threw it in for free at checkout.
And that's you should crack itself, that picture. You should use your the WGN Radio Instagram, so you should film it so you catch the water.
Oh, yeah.
So one hand has phone, one hand has water.
You're going to go down and film it through the window?
Ooh. And do it shirtless.
Yeah. Somebody better go out there. Why do I have to be shirtless?
Not you, Mary.
Ryan Burrow went out with helium balloons about an hour ago. He's not come back in yet, so we're going to send a team out for him.
Yeah, Texter says the difference between Pat Brady and Ryan Burrow is Pat didn't have to walk outside. Ryan was assigned. All right, so Pete, I appreciate you taking one for the team.
Absolutely. This is really a dumb idea.
Listen, I have a lot of dumb ideas. This isn't the only one.
Hey, Pete, you picking on just this walk one? Out there.
Also, Steve, a texter from the 630 said that while I was gone, you took food into the studio. Did this happen? That. They said, while things are getting, since everyone's outing everybody.
We didn't get any food.
We didn't get any food.
I feel like we may have gotten food. Like
Steve brought food into the studio when I was on
vacation.
Todd
brought us some donuts, but they were in the newsroom.
There were donuts outside. I don't bring food in here. I'm afraid to.
I'm just telling you. The 630 said you did.
No, well, the 630, they're confused. Pat Brady, as a prosecutor, you chased down bad guys. As the head of the Republican Party in Illinois, you did your job well, and now as a businessman on the Republican side of things, or really the political side of things, I think you've probably never been more independent. I think people should really listen to the next few minutes of the show, because you're going to hear me in particular trash both parties, as I do every day. So try not to pick teams. Try to listen to what we actually say. My opinion, the criminal syndicate of Democrats in power in this country has to, or in the state, I should say, has to be exposed, and exposed quickly. The Sun-Times story yesterday, does it have legs like Ro Khan thinks, where it's going to be as big a political story as we've ever seen in this town, or is it a blip?
I think most people on and off the record think that this is going to be the biggest story ever, probably rivaling Greylord. We had a guy wired up for 2 years, very powerful position in City Hall, 18,000 phone calls, according to the, I haven't read the affidavit, but according to the Sun-Times report. So that's a lot of conversations and a lot of actions and a lot of things, official acts done. So, yeah, I think it's a big story.
All right. So as we talked about yesterday, Sun-Times reporting that Solis wore a wire, but he was, before that, had his phone tapped,
yes,
which led to him wearing a wire. He was apparently making between 10 and 50 phone calls a day that were interesting enough to keep on track and listen. We've made the case before. The Fed spent years putting a case together. That's how they have the 95% conviction rate.
Right. And those wires, you have to go back to a judge every 30 days, so they're finding something to get approval to keep the wire.
All of this ties back in what way to Madigan?
Well, the headline the Sun-Times yesterday had Speaker Madigan's face on there, said the feds have Madigan on an eavesdropping thing. But there's a couple things I think you need to think about, too. He was in a conversation with Solis, Alderman Solis, and under the federal law, it's one-party consent. So it's not like a
to record
a conversation. So it's not like this is a there was a finding of probable cause. We're going to go tap the speaker's phone, and because we think that there's bad activity going here. He was just part of an over here. So no, there was no predetermination of probable cause of wrongdoing. Point one, but point two, there are some other things that don't necessarily look so good. The timing of the official action, it was taken by Solis after he had introduced him to the speaker. It was a matter of days when it had languished all summer. And just the conversation that Solis, according to the affidavit, was saying to others, and this is according to the FBI agent, that Solis promised this particular developer that if he hired Madigan's firm, everything would be taken care of, which is using your public position.
But here's my point, and you know, I'm the last guy in the world to defend Madigan.
Yeah.
But so far, all we have is Solis trying to play things in his favor in exchange for favors in doing the introduction to Madigan. We don't have anything criminal that appears to be tied to Madigan yet.
Absolutely not. And I think a lot of people give that headline. When I saw the paper, I'm like, well, I think that's a little bit unfair, because really there's nothing here. There's a lot more we don't know than we do know. I would say that. But this is going to be, I think, a substantial investigation.
You've seen, even in the mayoral candidacy, every candidate coming out pointing fingers at each other. I would assume if you have 20,000 calls before he wore a wire and 20,000 after he wore a wire, that every single politician in the state of Illinois is going to be on those calls.
His position, too.
Yeah,
the zoning committee. That's what it's all about.
Is the tenor right now, the tone, that everybody is deciding whether or not they're in trouble? I mean, is that the concept? Because everybody has to be on those calls.
Sure. I mean, a lot of people probably didn't do anything wrong. Maybe everybody didn't do anything wrong, but the calls have been recorded and the FBI is reviewing them, which is never a great day. I think another threat, too, is that if they can prove up some kind of criminal enterprise and charge this as a RICO or a conspiracy, you could go back into the 90s and really look and take a deep dive at all of this, which that's the Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization Act was enacted for mob cases, but it allows cases like this, if you can prove a criminal enterprise, they're much easier.
So you can't hide behind a statute of limitations, and you certainly can't hide behind, hey, I didn't know everyone around me was a crook.
Exactly.
Right.
You can actually do that in a conspiracy, too, which also tolls the statute in a certain respect.
But if you have an alderman, as we're getting painting a picture of Danny Solis and all the things that were in the transcript, but then also today the Tribune saying he's using hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own campaign fund for personal use. Is it possible it stops with Danny Solis? He's just a bad alderman. He's a corrupt politician, allegedly, and everyone around him is either unaware of that or what?
It could very well be, and that's the presumption you have to make, that people are presumed innocent until you see more. But that was a pretty lengthy affidavit they filed to get the over here. So yeah, we know a lot less about this than we. There's a lot there, but we don't know much.
Well, and again, the great hypocrisy of all of this is any business. You go to work today to tomorrow, whenever, you know who you're talking about at work. You know who you claim is sleeping with somebody else at the office. You know who you think is a drunk. You know who you think is doing this or doing that. The idea that a small business like City Hall doesn't know that there are dirty players involved and the rumors that have circulated about Madigan, about Burke's Power for all these years, anybody acting like they're surprised by any of this couldn't be a bigger joke.
Well, it's the kind of the wink and the nod, too. And you don't say things affirmatively, but you understand that if I do X, I'm going to get this kind of treatment. And that's very difficult to prove.
As always, the speaker is welcome here to defend himself. I'm not expecting him today because the weather's not great, but certainly he's invited tomorrow as well and on and beyond. Stand by, more in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
State of the Union's on for a Tuesday night, or as I like to call it, please applaud for me. Please, please, please. Eric Edelstein is here. Just a quickie here, Eric, if you would, and tell us who is going to be doing the Democrat response.
Well, exciting news. Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor in Georgia, was the most searched politician of 2018, has been tapped by Senator Schumer to give the response. The Democratic response. So she'll be doing that in Atlanta or someplace in Georgia after the president's speech. I think it's, you know, all the stuff you've been talking about, sort of the depressing, cynical parts of politics. I think this is an opportunity for the rest of the country that hasn't seen Stacey Abrams to get a sense of a positive message, a vision, what politics can be. And I'm excited to hear what Stacey Abrams has to say.
And by the way, the Russians didn't steal that election. The rednecks did. And the governor there should be in jail, the governor who got himself elected. But I can't think of another time where a candidate who lost has been put in such a prominent position.
It's sort of an upside-down world we're living in now. You know, Beto O'Rourke loses in Texas, is considered a front-runner for president. Stacey's given the response. But I think it's an indication that politics are bigger than one particular election right now. And I think it's an indication that she's the future of the Democratic Party, you know, among other people. But she's a powerful voice, and it's going to be fascinating to see her in contrast to Trump. I mean, I can't think of two more different people.
Now, I know your business, Eric, is to help Democrats get elected, considering the developments of the past couple of days. I mean, just consider this. Maybe a bail bondsman. I'm just saying it's a possibility. Just throw it out there.
I mean, it's depressing. I heard your segment. It was great. Look, here's all I would say, Steve. Everyone who's nervous, you know what? If you have a reason to be nervous, then shame on you. And if you did anything wrong and you're on a tape, then you should be punished. So, you know, maybe instead of people being scared about what's going on, maybe this will clean stuff up and we can make a fresh start and get this black eye off of Chicago and off of Illinois.
Oh,
I know
that'd be something.
Hey, Eric,
that sounds unrealistic, but maybe we actually can.
Hey, real quickly, as a conservative, not necessarily a Trump Republican, I'm really wondering, Hillary's going to make a comeback, right? We want her back.
He's really looking for a birthday present here, and it's not his birthday.
Seriously, she had that. Can we get her back, please?
Pat,
please?
Has Pat's brain thawed out since he walked across?
Apparently not. Apparently the ice crystals are still rattling around
Cochran
up there.
No, Cochran told you, because you're his favorite, you don't have to come in, and you just neglected to tell me.
Well, let's be clear on how this works. Eric called me yesterday.
We'll get Pat in. He's stupid.
Eric like, called me
walk,
yesterday and says, I'm not coming in. Pat walked from the East Bank Club. Thank you, man.
All right.
See you later. Pat, what's the name of your company?
Next Generation Strategies, but more important, LincolnForum.org. The big debate Thursday night.
Looking forward to it.
Top contender, so come by at Uni League Club, 6 o'clock.
Dr. Kevin Most with some medical reminders on this viciously nasty, horribly bad cold day. And then the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
It is time now for me to say the following. We're going to the news here? So we're doing. What are we doing? I'm totally forgot. Oh, Dr. Kevin Most is here. You know, Doc, you got anything for my, apparently my Vyvanse hasn't kicked in this morning. You got anything else for me?
Well, you know, you can tell when Sandberg's out of the office. You told me Sandberg's out on the street. So, I mean, the whole show goes, you know, in the toilet once she's gone.
There's no question. All right. So we just want to remind people of a couple of key things to think about today. Obviously, don't walk outside from the East Bank Club to the show. Other than that moronic move, what should people be thinking about today? A, if they have to be outside, or B, if they've been outside and they've got a health concern.
And please tell me Pat Brady at least had a hat on for that walk.
He's got a hat.
Okay, good.
You know, Steve, probably the biggest thing is preparation and making sure that you're safe when you go outside. Make sure that you're dressed appropriately. We're talking about wind chills that can cause frostbite within 5 minutes. So that 10-minute walk from the train to your office is dangerous now. So to make sure that you have a hat on, cover as much exposed skin as you possibly can. Be really careful about your ears as well as your fingers and your feet. Those are probably the biggest points. And think about preparation. Forget about gym shoes from the train today and tomorrow. These should be insulated boots, you know, and be as function over fashion, as I say.
You know, I don't even own insulated boots. You know when I realized that? When I looked in the closet this morning to see where my boots were. So that's a purchase that needs to be made, even if you only use them once a year. There's a guy in Naperville who worked at the southernmost tip of Antarctica for 3 months and had some how to stay warm tips, one of which I'd never heard before. And Doc, you and I are good friends, but I don't know that I'd ask. He said one of the greatest ways to warm up cold hands is in the bare armpits of someone near you who obviously gives you permission to do that.
Yep.
If I have to go to sticking my hands in your armpits, maybe it's over for me.
Point, but it is true. We generate a lot of heat there, and it stays in that area, and it's controlled heat. We talk about when people come inside, don't rub your hands, don't put them under water unless you know that that someone's tested that water. Don't put them in front of an oven. We know if you put them underneath your arm or armpits or someone else's armpits, we know it's a controlled warming, and it's much safer for you.
Doc, you know, obviously you on our website, WGNRadio.com, you can see the notes from our conversation on Monday, but if someone has exposed themselves to the elements and their skin is showing signs of frostbite, when do they go to the emergency room?
Yeah, Justin, it's a great question because when we look at things and we say, gosh, if you had a chance that you had frostbite, we want you to gradually warm them in a very controlled environment. Nothing worse than having frostbite, warming them up and saying, now I'm going to go to the emergency room and ending up with frostbite again on top of it. So the big thing there is getting in as soon as you possibly can to a warm environment and gradually warming them. Going to the emergency room is appropriate, but remember, what we're going to do is the exact same thing that you can do in your home. The repercussions of frostbite are more longer term than acute, so probably the biggest thing is get you to a safe, warm place as quickly as possible. If that's a home over the emergency room, that's appropriate.
And thanks to all the EMTs and the cops and the firemen and obviously the emergency room nurses and doctors working today. This is not the normal gig to be treating frostbite, but I know, for instance, at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, you guys have laid in special supplies for things like this that you don't see every day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the emergency room is ready with warmed IV fluids already, you know, warm blankets, extra blankets. We're very in tune to this. We know we're going to see people with cold exposure. And again, like you just said, thanks to the EMTs, to the paramedics, to the firefighters, those guys who are responding to these calls right now. And I tell people, stay home if possible, unless you're in a position where you have to be, and, you know, appreciate the nurses and doctors who have shown up because we have to be open. But the rest of us, I think, you know, a day or two working from home will be much safer for you.
You're talking about crucial people like talk show hosts.
Yeah, talk show hosts especially, exactly. Those, they should probably stay at the Swiss Hotel.
Super Joe's mom is a nurse at a pediatrician's office, and she is wearing a pineapple shirt today for warmth, just like Super Joe's wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
That's great. Your mom copied you. It's unbelievable. It's outrageous. Thank you, Doc.
You got it. Talk to you guys soon.
See you later. It's Dr. Thanks, Kevin Doc. Most. And we're going to go outside to Pete. Dean will be on in a couple minutes.
Oh,
Pete will toss
Pete
the water.
Pete and I already did it.
Well, I need to be able to call it.
Oh, we need the, I'm we need, sorry. This, we did it so I could film it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but this is a radio show. We've got to have something
this
to talk about on the radio.
Better because then you can throw to actually see it.
No. Let's be
we
clear.
Can talk
this
about
is
the
not better. This has to be described on the radio, even if I'm making it up.
But he'd have to go, and here it is. Oh, yeah, it froze.
Yeah. That's exactly what it should sound like.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We
little miscommunication
we'll
there. And a texter from the 773 said you had food in here with DJ and Farmio.
Oh, yeah. We got donuts because Ed Farmer was very, very hungry.
And bagels. There were bagels.
And bagels. That's so there was food in the studio. Okay,
well, it was for Ed, not for us.
There'll be a full investigation.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than what I should.
morning, Dean.
I'm frozen.
Here's the thing. Yesterday, when you said that the management and the producers wouldn't let you go outside and do cool stuff,
yeah,
I was inspired by that. So let's go outside now to where producer Pete Zimmerman just finished throwing water up in the air.
And?
Pete, what did you find out scientifically, and are you still alive?
Pete Zimmerman, senior weather correspondent for WGN Radio Reporting. And actually, it's not too bad out here. I would say the most frightening thing about this whole escapade was the fact that on the way down, I saw the sales manager, John Gallagher. I think that's his name, John.
Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah. He was wearing shorts.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Not wearing crazy.
He was wearing shorts.
Ridiculous.
I saw they were basketball
crazy.
Shorts. That's a red.
Because the gym is.
You mean like
building.
70s basketball shorts with like two short shorts?
They weren't quite too short. We saw knees.
Oh,
there were knees.
Ridiculous. All right, right. So did you throw the water in the air?
I did throw the water in the air, and it just went up and seemed to be very liquidy.
Well, that most water you'll find is liquidy. Now, when you threw it up in the air, did it turn into steam or did it turn into ice?
It turned into neither. It just looked like water.
It stayed as
coming
water.
Out of a pitcher.
Hey, let me tell you, because I've been doing sub-zero science this morning.
Uh-huh.
Not outside. I would step outside for just a moment because it is crazy cold.
Uh-huh.
To do this.
Keep in mind as you explain this, Pete is still outside.
I would urge Pete to come back inside. There's no reason for you to be standing out there. I stepped out for a moment, but here's what I did. I took a mug full of water, microwaved it for 4 minutes.
Okay.
So really, really, really hot. And didn't throw it up in the air. I just poured it, and it did turn to steam. The water needs to be hot in order for that to work.
We used lukewarm water.
Yeah.
So do you need to throw it higher if it's lukewarm?
We threw it pretty high. There may have been a little bit of steam, but it mostly just ended up being water on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it spreads out too thinly when you throw it up. I found that in my many experiments that I've done since yesterday.
Now, Pete, I have good news. Helpful texters are saying if you get bubbles, like the bubbles I use with Abigail when you blow bubbles for a little kid, if you get bubbles and you blow the bubbles, they crystallize and explode.
Steve, I also did that this morning.
How did that work?
Is Pete okay?
It sounds like he's gone. It sounds like Pete is down.
I'm back outside with another a little bit more water, and I'm gonna try pouring it slowly. Is that what you suggest, Dean?
Yeah, it should be hot though, but give it a try.
It is. This is pretty hot.
Okay. All right, so pour it slowly and tell us what happens.
And be careful with my pitcher, dude.
It looks just like water dribbling out of a pitcher. Really underwhelming.
So, why did you send Pete back out for this?
Right, now here's the thing, Pete. There's a CVS about 3 blocks away. If you can make it there and make it back alive, pick up some bubbles and come back and we'll try that.
You got it.
Steve, I did the bubbles
and?
A little earlier and completely underwhelmed by the bubbles also.
All right, Pete, do your big sign-off before you die.
Before I go, I should mention that can you alert somebody in the building to put out a danger? Because I did this right outside the doors.
And you got a nice patch of ice there now.
Yeah.
So there's a big patch of ice right outside the entrance of 303 East Wacker. So,
the slippery one wet sign, yeah.
You know what? Take your phone now and record people falling. You could be an expert witness in their lawsuit.
The signs with our building just uses the man sliding on his phone.
Yeah.
Those are the ones we have.
Yeah, the stick figure.
Because nobody could...
But again, unless the water's super hot, it doesn't turn into steam, and the bubbles don't seem to work.
Right.
Pete, do your sign-off.
Pete Zimmerman, senior weather correspondent, WGN Radio, signing off from 303 East Wacker.
Again, you're listening. What did you call it, Dan? I thought that was a great name. Winter science?
No, sub-zero science.
Sub-zero science. That's
sub-zero
a great
science.
Name.
So, Dean, I took a video of this, just so you know, of Pete throwing the water. I was out there.
Where's the video?
The video is being posted to WGMradio.com right now.
Yes.
And then it'll be on our socials, so you can watch it. Also, my hand was exposed while filming, and I didn't find it to be unbearable. Just wanted everyone to know that.
Thanks for the...
I was outside for less than a minute, and I was crying like a baby.
Right.
It was ridiculously cold. We also did. I looked up all these experiments. And they say if you take just a regular balloon and go outside, that when you go outside in the sub-zero, the balloon will shrink. And then when you come back inside, it expands back to its regular size again. I've had a damn balloon outside for an hour. It hasn't changed one bit.
It's like one practical joke the internet's playing on.
Yeah, here's my conclusion to this.
None of the crap works.
Science sucks.
Yeah, and it's cold.
Yeah, science sucks. In a little while, I've had a banana I took outside. And it's about like an hour ago, so I assume it's pretty frozen solid. Supposedly, I can use it as a hammer to nail a nail into a piece of wood. So I'm going to try that later. I'm expecting complete failure on that also.
You know what I do? I dip it in chocolate and enjoy the rest of it.
Yeah. Just eat a frozen banana, right?
All right, so we got to talk more weather.
The banana is going to be as hard as a hammer?
Yes, that's what the internet clips.
That's what they say.
We've got to talk weather more in just a second, but is there a major show business story you're covering today, or is it just Sub-Zero Science?
Well, it's Sub-Zero Science, of course, but also some of the entertainment venues around the Chicago area are shut down today as well. Hamilton will not be performed, neither the matinee nor the evening performance. Contact your point of purchase if you have tickets for today. Second City's main stage will be closed today. No training classes there. Court Theater closed. Northlight. Chicago Shakespeare Theater is closed today. The Chicago Magic Lounge. And also all of the AMC Chicagoland theaters are closed today. All of them.
Everyone.
Every last one.
All right, buddy. Good luck. Go get your banana. And I've never said that to you before.
The hard banana.
Hey, so, never said that either.
Hey.
That's Dean Richards. He's live at Channel 9. We're going to come back with Rick DeMaio in a second to explain why planes have trouble flying in this kind of weather.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Tom Skilling will join us next hour. Talk about when Armageddon ends. That's the title of my last album, When Armageddon Ends. And speaking of legendary meteorologists and pilots, Rick DeMaio joins us. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Steve and Justin. By the way, I was listening to you guys with the things you want to do to have fun in the cold. Yeah. Those are all boring.
You got one? Yeah, totally.
Okay. You get a nice beefsteak tomato, not a Roma, not a cherry, nice beefsteak tomato. Put it outside tonight, and cold is a cumulative effect. This thing is going to freeze like you wouldn't believe. Tomorrow, you take that tomato, and you see how high you could bounce it off your sidewalk.
Come on, like it has an elastic effect to it?
Yes, it is unbelievable.
I'm going to Whole Foods right after the show.
Rick
I got to do
for the win.
Make sure it's not too oblong because it'll bounce to the left or the right. You got to get a nice round one. And trust me, it'll blow your mind. It's almost like a pool ball that bounces off, but you got to get it to bounce off a nice hard surface. And you know who told me this particular kind of fun thing to do? My meteorology professor at the University of Wisconsin Madison. Here's a guy with a PhD, 30 years experience,
sure.
And he's telling us to bounce tomatoes off the sidewalk at 33 degrees below zero. That's the coldest I was in back in 1985.
I'm telling you right now, some of the funniest people and the weirdest funniest people are scientists and undertakers.
Oh, yeah.
And scientists. These are the people that they have to laugh. All right, now listen. Let's talk your pilot side of this. Let's talk flying.
Right.
Why
right.
are planes troubled by flying in super cold weather?
You know, it's not so much the airframe of the plane. These fly, obviously, at 35,000 feet where it's minus 50 degrees below zero. Fuel is no problem. It can go down to minus 40. The 1,100 cancellations right now at O'Hare and 300 cancellations at Midway is all due to ground support. Typically, people generally will be outside for about 35, maybe 40 minutes to basically what we call turn around an airplane. So if you're only outside for about 15 minutes, now you have to have another crew to go out and basically replace these people and have to go back in. Also, all those little carts and things that you see flying around the airport, moving bags from one side to the other, food service, maintenance things like that, diesel fuel, all that stuff slows down. So this is really not have anything to do with the mechanics of an airplane. It has everything to do with ground support.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And bag handlers, right?
My God. Totally. Yeah. And when you think about it, how often do you go to the airport, you wait in the gate area, you get on the airplane, and you leave, and you never really kind of look outside unless you're kind of a weather weenie or a science geek, and you're wondering, how do these people do it? It's an amazing array of pieces. It's this complex system that basically works really well. Now, one of the things that I had to deal with, I worked for United Airlines for 12 years, and I teach now at Lewis University, where we have an airport and a national weather service there. We teach the kids how to manage an airline and how to manage an airport. And typically, an airport doesn't have specs in the manual that says, what do we do when it's minus 20 to 25? Usually because the last time this happened was 1994 or 1985. So what they're doing is they're basically calling airport managers up at Fargo, Grand Forks, Fairbanks, and say, how do you do it? And what happens in this kind of situation, 2 days out, you start to know that you're going to have these difficulties. Then you start to try to call people in for overtime. People aren't answering their phone. You know, people say, look, I've worked the last 3 or 4 days clearing snow. We've now had 12 consecutive days of snow. So think about all the stress on the manpower and also the equipment with the de-icing. We had nearly 600 cancellations yesterday. So when you get to a day like today and you see minus 25 for low, minus 15 for an afternoon high, the only way you can basically run an airline and airport is to pretty much shut down about 50% of it. And that's what both O'Hare and Midway have done.
All right, buddy. Appreciate the information. Thanks for clearing it up. Thanks for bringing some common sense to the rest of us. Now go outside with a tomato and have a good time.
Hey, I've already been down to the lakefront. It's beautiful. Go for a walk.
The knucklehead. Rick DeMaio.
Wow, that was great.
That's, one of those you don't wacky even think scientists. About that,
but that's why.
I wanted to ask him if he got into being a pilot for the applause.
You mean applause that happens when the plane lands?
Yeah. Yay.
Hey, we made it. Routine landing.
Or if with my kids and Patrick goes, whoop, whoop.
Well, how old's Patrick?
He's going to be 12
You
March.
Have to make that noise.
Yeah.
It's a law.
That's a late 11-year-old noise.
Scheduled to appear.
I was micromanaging him getting a drink with his Pringles on the plane last night. And the flight attendant said, Mom, he's got it. Like,
oh, told you to back off.
Basically, yeah, because he wasn't saying thank you fast enough in my book. So wow. I was like, could you? Patrick, great. Say thank you. Patrick, say thank you. And he's staring at me.
You know what I worry most about, and he's going to appear on the show later, is your husband, Pat Boyle, because when the kids move out in a few years, mm-hmm. he is just going to be under the gun with you.
Yes.
Do this, do that, do it now.
Yes.
I guess that's like it is now. It's 8:33. We'll come back with the headlines in a second, and then Gary McCarthy scheduled to appear to talk about being a mayor. Oh, by the way, thanks for looking at Andy Mazur's site yesterday.
Yeah.
We're going to tell that story coming up,
okay,
too.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. Andy Mazur Photo.
AndyMazurPhoto.com.
Yeah, check that out. Yeah. AndyMazurPhoto.com. Great photography.
There's
there.
Also a video.
All available to buy, by the way.
Video is up at WGNRadio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook.
Oh, right. Yeah. See some terrible weather experiments gone awry. Again, headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
844, former friend of the show, and I believe still a friend of the show.
Yeah, that came out weird.
Well, not at all. Just setting up the introduction.
Yeah.
Gary McCarthy's here, Chicago police superintendent for so many years. And now you can go to GaryForMayor.com, leadership for a change. It's a great slogan.
Yeah, we like it because you can interpret it two different ways. You know, leadership for change or leadership. For a change.
I'd like to say that anybody can run and anybody can win no matter how much the money matters. The money matters more than ever. Are you going to be able to raise enough money to be competitive the rest of the way?
I think so. We're doing pretty well. We're at about $1.5 million at this point raised. But it's very expensive to get on the broadcast TV. It's something like $250,000 a week, which is why, you know, when people like Tony Preckwinkle can pick up $1 million from two different unions and not be beholden to them also, by the way, that's what she insists on. We need campaign reform here. Absolutely.
So let's talk about a business you know well. You were an East Coast cop. You chased a lot of bad guys, including organized crime types. Organized crime figures shouldn't be in the city council, but the aldermen this week are talking like they're all mafia thugs. What do you make of the whole Solis mess?
I think that we're going to see a lot more fallout from that. I think I read that there were 18,000 conversations recorded. I think we're going to see daisy chains coming out of City Hall, and I think it's deserved based upon what we're hearing. Like you said, street thuggery, snitches get stitches, right? That's what we heard. They weren't outraged at the fact that Danny Solis obviously was being arrested by the feds, along with obviously Ed Burke. They were outraged at the fact that he turned against the family.
Well, but talk about that for a second, because I remember a million times when you were on the show and you were talking about one of the policies we have to work on the West Side is for the neighborhoods to trust the cops enough, because their no snitch policy is deadly for the people that live in those neighborhoods. These same aldermen are the people who are calling out the no snitch policy in the neighborhoods where people are fighting for their lives. I mean, the hypocrisy is unbelievable.
It really is, and that's what's really troubling to me. And since I've been here, I've been focused on reducing gun violence, and I still am. But I've come to realize that nothing's... I've been saying nothing's going to change until we first make the city safe. Nothing's really going to change until we first have some ethics in city government.
How about that? Crazy idea.
And you know, that's going to be... what I'm pursuing for the rest of this campaign, because it's obviously preventing Chicago from moving forward. And it infects everything that happens in this city, from getting contracts and permits to the lack of transparency in the Chicago way, with a wink and a nod.
How, as mayor, would you approach transparency, ethics reform, and what's happening right now in city council?
Well, it's interesting, because the first policy after I announced my candidacy way back in March, I believe I was the second person to announce, before all the politicians from the 90s jumped in. the 90s called, they want their politicians.
Yeah, right.
But we announced the first policy was our ethics and government policy. And I would expand the office of inspector general. I would also empower the office of inspector general. As a matter of fact, at this point, I would probably look to create a task force with the FBI and Chicago PD to work specifically on corrupt politicians in city government, because it's just a way of life here. The thing that drives me nuts is the fact that we accept it. Nobody is shattered by these revelations. Everybody is like, yeah, well, it's Chicago. That's what happens here. If we always do what we always did, we're always going to get what we always got.
But this is where the mayor's sway over city council is really important.
Exactly.
You don't need too much. You don't need too little. But when they make the rules on how they're governed,
right,
how do you govern them in a different way? Because if I'm an alderman and I take care of my district and I make sure that all the kids are taken care of and I make sure the traffic light works and the stop sign's okay and the potholes are fixed, maybe I'm not so incentivized to get rid of my guy.
Well, you're presuming that all of those things are happening. And when I talk to people across the city, it's not happening. And, you know, just I want you to think about the ward redistricting and the gerrymandering that goes on. What's happening in Chicago is that the elected officials are choosing who their constituents are, not the constituents choosing who their elected officials are.
It's completely upside down.
Everything is completely upside down. But we accept it. You know, I argue with my wife constantly about this, among other things, obviously.
Yeah.
But she says to me, Gary, it's never going to change. And I say, it's never going to change until somebody changes it.
Yeah, you can't have that attitude. You really can't.
You just can't. We got to move forward.
One more, and we'll take a break.
Well, I want to get into, you know, obviously we've been having these conversations with different candidates, and it's really come down to schools, it come down to policing, and also what's going to happen in City Hall when it comes to the pensions and the finances. For you, how do you convince somebody who knows your record as a police chief, superintendent, and your work in law enforcement that you can be successful in areas outside of that?
You know, people are trying to cubbyhole me. They say, well, the guy's a police officer. That's great. He knows policing, but what does he know? I know a lot about management. I was at the top of three major cities in, you know, government in three major cities in this country for 17 years. I learned a little bit. I've managed $1.4 billion budgets. So it's not as simple as just saying, you know, he's just a policeman. No, I'm a manager. And one of the smartest things that the NYPD did was they trained managers in business management at Columbia University School of Business. And that's the process that we use in the NYPD to reduce crime, business management of crime. That's what we need to do with city government. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have the spreadsheet and you know, I'm you know, counting decimal points. I'm going to hire the best people to do it, but we have an outstanding platform that addresses gun violence, taxes, the pension issue. One of the things that was really frustrating to me was we sat down with the Tribune editorial board, and when they asked a question about the pensions, I laid out a plan in the first year to come up with almost $400 million that will get us through that first payment. And then they went and said nobody was specific on how to do it. I was very specific
right
on it. So
well, I should be frustrated about it.
It's very frustrating trying to get the message out. What I would encourage people to do is, like Steve said, go to GaryForMayor.com, and that's Gary with two R's, the proper spelling.
Two R's, and also F-O-R, not the number four.
Exactly. Yes. And you could look at our platform. Each one of those issues, the gun violence, the taxes, the school system, affordable housing, every one of those issues is intimately interrelated. You can't fix one and not fix all of them if we expect the city to move forward.
Texters' questions at 312-981-7200, and we'll come back with more with Gary McCarthy in just a second. GaryForMayor.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Every candidate for mayor comes through this show, and we thank them for making the effort, including Gary McCarthy, who's here right now, GaryForMayor.com. As you know, this is a great city. You wouldn't be living here. You want to be mayor because you want this city to be as good as it can be and better. There are a lot of things that are working in this city, and we focus on the stuff that's not because that's part of this the topic. How do you keep the cranes above the skyline? How do you keep business development going? The positive role we have in different things.
Well, again, this is on our website, too. We have a vision that we can hold on to the downtown, and that development will continue, but we have to work on the neighborhoods. And part of my plan is to bring back the vocational schools and put the apprenticeships right into the high schools so that we create a trained workforce. We're going
to
give...
Because everybody doesn't have to go to college.
And even if you do, you're not going to use your degree all the time for what
right.
you do in life.
Right. Learn a trade.
I mean, I was going to be a lawyer. Took a different path, obviously. But train that workforce and then give small businesses and startups tax incentives to go to the neighborhoods and employ those people. Assume all of these abandoned properties across the city, rehab them with those individuals, creating, obviously, economic stimulus. Use TIF funding the way it's supposed to be used by state law.
Right.
And we can create jobs in the neighborhoods because that's going to change the dynamic that's happening here in Chicago. We can hold on to downtown at the same time.
Let's talk police because you, of course, made your name here in Chicago as police superintendent. You were fired by the mayor after the release of the Laquan McDonald video.
Right.
It led to a consent decree, a federal consent decree, which is still being negotiated in the courts. Where are you on the consent decree? And what can you do as mayor to deal with what we see in fracture between some minority communities and the police department?
So I'll answer the second question first. The first thing we have to do is recognize the problem, which is the social economic divide. And the police are the 10% of the iceberg that you can see. There's a failed system here. You talk about trust in the police. It's trust in the system. The first thing we have to do is bring legitimacy to city government if we're going to have legitimacy in the police department. I want you to think about the fact that, and this is not a knock on Eddie Johnson, but when the mayor appointed Eddie Johnson, he had the city council change the law for one day to appoint somebody who didn't apply for the job. Well, I'm sorry. There's a law in place. There's municipal law that defines how the police superintendent is found. So we can't have legitimacy in the police if we don't have legitimacy in government. We know there's no legitimacy in government. We call it the Chicago way. As far as the consent decree goes, it's a flawed document. I've read all 28 of the consent decrees that were written during the Obama administration. This one is way off base. It's recommending things that are already done in the department. For instance, the way that we got the lowest number of police shootings, down 68% during my tenure, was by changing the policy on shooting at vehicles. They're now recommending that they adopt the policy that I put in place in 2014. The other thing that's really bad about this, three other things. First of all, I don't know who the police policy expert was who participated in this, because there's a lot of police policies that are being thrown out the window in this consent decree. The second thing is, it's taking supervisors off the street from supervising to document behaviors. That is going to cause chaos. If we actually have a crime strategy, it's not going to be executed because supervisors aren't going to be on the street. By the way, if the cops aren't being supervised, who knows what they're going to be doing? That's a recipe for disaster. And the last thing is, it's incredibly expensive to do this. That consent decree is incredibly flawed. New Orleans spent $55 million on their consent decree. There's a roadmap out there written by the the President's 21st Century Task Force on Policing that came out of the Chicago plan that's recommended for how you should do policing. In 2015, it was written.
Okay, if there's no consent decree, do you believe that there is reform needed in the Chicago Police Department?
I was reforming the police department. We were creating a business management model and a meritocracy of moving people ahead based upon their work ethic and their talent levels, not who they were hooked up with, which is what we do here constantly, and then we expect performance. If you don't create a performance-based dynamic in the organization, we're going to get what we got, which is a mess right now.
Do we have more bad cops in Chicago than New York or Philly?
There's bad cops everywhere.
But it's a tiny percentage, right?
It's a very small percentage, and at the end of the day, they need to be identified, prosecuted if they violate the law, or fired if they violate policy. I've been saying that from day one.
How big a priority would you make it, considering the millions and millions and millions we've paid out in settlements?
Well, first of all, we got something called accreditation, which is the gold standard for your policies in the policing. I started this. It finished about 8 months ago. That's supposed to reduce settlements and lawsuits by about 30%. Let's realize that and let's start fighting these things instead of settling them. We're giving out money to people who we should be getting money from. We settle everything. I was conferred with exactly once by the Corporation Council on a settlement.
Would you give the superintendent more power to help in that regard? Because the mayor can't be in on all of that.
Absolutely. You got to realize, Steve, my position as superintendent had it that I was accountable for everybody's behavior in the department.
Right.
But I wasn't in charge of the discipline system. How can that be?
No, they can't be parallel lines. They have to intersect.
And 75% of my recommendations to terminate police officers during my tenure was overturned by the Civilian Police Board. So just think about what that means. So accountability without authority equals failure. It's a bad business practice. That's what we have here. I wasn't in charge of the investigation until the Laquan McDonald shooting.
Right.
That was IPRA. Now it's COPA, so I'm sure it's much better since they changed the name. But
that was East Coast sarcasm there that he's brought to the Midwest, just so we're translation.
But at the end of the day, the superintendent needs more authority if we're going to give them more accountability.
All right. Speaking of boards, last question for this time, and obviously we'll talk again, involves the school board. There is a great question about whether or not the school board should be elected or appointed. Elected, give the public a voice in it. We know how big a deal the school board is in making decisions, helping, hurting, whatever. You talk a lot about education
right at
GaryForMayor.com. It's a very energetic plan. I give you a lot of credit for it.
Thank you.
What do you say about the school board?
Partially elected. Because it goes back to what I just said. If I'm going to be accountable for what happens in the schools, I should have people, like-minded people, but also give the community a voice. And by the way, this really came to light with what happened with the National Teachers Academy. When the city moved to close that school, 80% African-American, a high-performing school that did everything they needed to do to get in line, but the community didn't allow it to happen. So very clearly, the community needs to have a voice in what happens with the schools, but by the same token, accountability without authority doesn't work. So I like a hybrid board, partially elected, partially appointed, but we could create whatever we want. Right? It doesn't have to be 7 members. It could be 10. It could be 12. It could be 15. We could take those individuals who get elected from the actual school councils that are out there now who know what they're talking about, and we could make the term whatever we want it to be. So we have an opportunity to create this so that we could get the best possible result, and we need to do that. But there's two things people don't like, the way things are and change, and we got to face that.
You're a really smart guy. I've known you for a long time. I've also heard you're a pain in the ass to work for. So are you willing to learn? Are you willing to listen to people? Are you willing to have people tell you stuff that maybe you thought you already knew?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, it's funny to hear that I'm a pain in the ass to work for. I think that probably means that I'm a demanding supervisor, which is okay.
Every boss hears that.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But some of my best ideas came out of focus groups with police officers. So I'm the type of person who walks the plant, as we say, and I'm not going to be sitting in an office. One of the questions that they asked us at a forum, which naturally they didn't ask me, they asked all the other candidates, it seemed, was, what am I going to do on the first day? What's the first phone call? And, you know, when I sit down behind that desk, and the answer that I would give is, I'm not going to be in the office on the first day. I'm going to be
leave a message.
You can't see the wizard.
Right.
No,
right.
But I'm going to be out in the field, as we say, talking to people, and I'm going to bring City Hall to the community, not the other way around.
Listen, I salute the effort, man. Keep running. Keep running hard.
I haven't had a good scrap in a while. This is kind of fun.
Somehow I don't think you miss a week without a good scrap. We just don't hear about them. It's Gary McCarthy again, GaryForMayor.com. Two R's, GaryFor, GaryForMayor.com. You'll be back, and we'll talk more.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
As always, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Get to Hamp here in just a second. Who are you saying hi to?
We have a listener at the 815 whose daughter is a paramedic, and she was on a call in Harvard, Illinois, with 16 other...
first responders.
First responders, sorry. And these men that the firemen are helping, they have, you know, 4 inches of ice on them, exposed skin. Jeez. So please give a shout-out to first responders.
Absolutely.
And police officers that are trying to help people.
I follow a police officer on Instagram, and he just showed all of his setup.
Brutal.
It's brutal. I mean, what they're
armed with. And any cop will tell you, you know, you don't want to be today as a fireman.
Right.
Because it's water. And if you have to go put out a fire, you got to spray water. And I don't know how they do it. I just don't get it.
And for all the
God bless you all.
The first responders, and also the people who work for the utilities, because there was the big outages.
People.
There's
amazing
outages right
work.
Now in Indiana, Northwest Indiana, in Portage County, and then there's also they did great work in McHenry County to get that back up and running, because they were out of power since 5 a.m.
You know what my song would be? I am a lineman for the county, and I quit. I mean, you are better people. I'm telling you that right now. Dan Hampton is here. The Hall of Famer joins us. Good morning,
Hank. Hey, good morning. By the way, Jimmy Webb was the writer of that fantastic song sung by a fellow Arkansan, Glenn Campbell, you know, Wichita lineman. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. You know, a lot of people ask me all the time, what was the coldest, you know, game you ever played, blah, blah. Nothing compared to this, folks. This is the prize winner.
Crazy.
What we're going through right now.
You know, my favorite cold weather football stories is the Ice Bowl, 65, 6, whatever it was, with Bart Starr trying to quarterback sneak it in for the Packers to beat the Cowboys. He comes to the sideline expecting some wisdom from Vince Lombardi, and Lombardi goes, get it the F over. I just want to go get warm. gosh. Well, you must have froze a few times. I remember you telling stories with us about once you get going, you don't realize how cold it is. But today would obviously be an exception.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a really good reason why, you know, you never want to think about having a Super Bowl in Chicago if something like this could happen.
Yeah, but, right.
My goodness. The cold is what it is. And, you know, I'm looking at this weekend's game, and obviously it's going to be in Atlanta, inside the dome. It'll be, perfect conditions. It's a game that will be decided by the players, not the weather conditions. But, I think the five coldest games in Bears history, I played in four of them. So, I hit the prize on the wrong side of a ledger. But at the end of the day, today, we don't want to mess with this. We want to get through it and get on.
Somebody just texted, too. Hey, could you mention us idiots fueling airplanes at the airport? That's another outside job you just don't think about.
Rick DeMaio, we talked all about that.
All right, so you've got an obvious Patriots favorite situation here. What do the Rams need to do to win?
Well, the Rams are a very talented team, and, you know, they won a lot of games this year, 13-3, and, you know, but the Rams have certain liabilities, and if a team is very smart, they can take advantage of it, and that's why the Patriots have been installed as a favorite. The thing about the Rams is, for instance, you know, Todd Gurley was everybody's hero going into the fantasy season last year, and he really didn't play like the number one overall fantasy player. Well, he was hurt, he was nicked up, but it looked to me like, you know, they just lost faith in him, and they went out and they picked up C.J. Anderson, and this kid, I mean, he became a battering ram in the two playoff games and against Dallas and New Orleans, and right now, he looks to me like their best option. And, you know, all I hear this week is the head coach, Sean McVay, saying, oh, well, you know, Todd Gurley's our man. Oh, we're going to get him going. almost like in a contrivance way, oh, well, we're not going to do what we've done that's made us successful. We're going to make somebody happy. And so I don't know exactly how effective their offense will be if you try to, you know, do something that hasn't been working. Now, as far as their defense, you've got some good players. You know, Ndamukong Suh, we all know who he is. He played over in Detroit. He took the entire year off. He loafed. But now in the playoffs, oh, he looks like, you know, Man Mountain Dean, and he's playing great. And he will be a problem with Aaron Donald, probably the defensive player of the year, you know, the interior pass rusher. But, I personally think, you know, it's going to be a very close game. It will be decided by mistakes. And you know what we always say, experience is another name for, you know, making mistakes and figuring out what you did wrong. Well, the Patriots have been there. The Rams haven't. That plays in their favor.
You know, all the coaches will tell everybody that they want to keep things as normal as possible, but it's hard to do, obviously, with all the attention that goes on at the Super Bowl and other commitments that go on. How ready are these guys to go? I mean, how focused are you at this point of your preparation, knowing that you got this huge game coming up in a few days?
Yeah, and that was a problem for me long ago. You know, I wanted to play it on the bye week. You know, I mean, hey, all right, 7 days, enough. All right, let's play. Well, you got to wait another 7 days. And, it's, again, experience will play in. You know, there's a certain deal, and I've always said over the years, you know, a clenched fist holds no sand. And what I'm saying is you can be ready so long, and all of a sudden, then your fingers start to relax, and the sand starts, you know, and well, the same thing. You win the NFC Championship game, and you say, wow, we're in the Super Bowl. And, oh, okay, well, your body clock's saying get ready, and then you got to say no, don't get ready. So it's difficult, but the one thing is I personally think that, you know, the Rams have a really smart coach, and he obviously has, you know, tried to ask advice from a lot of very successful coaches and how they deal with it, and even Bill Belichick. They have a relationship together, McVay and Belichick. So, yeah, I think it's all going to be okay. It drove me nuts having to wait 14 days.
Sure. Hey, I'm interested on the other side of the ball, the New England Patriots, and so much has been made of Tom Brady's experience, even Belichick being in the Super Bowl. But I want to ask about some of the role players, Gronkowski, Edelman, the offensive line. They have been in this position. A lot of these players were with the team when they came back against the Falcons. How important is that when it comes to getting ready and preparing for a Super Bowl?
You know, that's a wonderful point, and that's really the reason why, you know, I believe, you know, the wise guys think the Patriots are the better team. Now, here's the point. Going into the AFC Championship game against the mighty Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, every time they were, you know, in a conventional backfield, Sony Michel, their starting running back, he would run it 73% of the time. And when they would go with the backup running back or the, you know, the counterback, James White, and he was in the backfield, he would go out in a pass route and catch the ball 82% of the time. Well, going into the AFC Championship game, Kansas City's like, oh, well, when he's in, we play around with it. Well, they flipped it. And I think the first downs of the game was James White running the ball. So you're exactly right. They have a cast of thousands of role players. You know, Edelman is their primary receiver, but Dorsett, Chris Hogan is really good. In the backfield, you know, White, Sonny Michel, and Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they've got all these different weapons. They're a Swiss Army knife offense. But the one guy that really jumps off the page at me, because he has the ability to run the ball, to catch the ball, and affect the game in so many different ways, is Cordell Patterson. And he only touches it maybe 4 or 5 times a game, but every time he touches it, something really good happens. And I personally think that, well, everybody's worried about Gronk and Edelman and then Hogan, and then, Cordell Patterson will be the guy that's featured, especially in the second half where, you know, it comes down to the nut cutting. And it'll be interesting to see if the Rams can counter.
So, listen, we know Brady is the offensive coordinator and the head coach of the team when he wants to be. So Brady can do whatever he wants, and including win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How much freelance does Aaron Donald have? You mentioned him earlier, but, you know, I think about when you played as an interior lineman, and you told us a great story about chasing O.J. Simpson down the field like a safety at one point. But how much freedom does Aaron Donald have? Because there's times where he looks like a linebacker more than he does an interior lineman.
Yeah, it's very different. And I was telling the great Ed Obradovich, I think one of the games, it may have been the game where we played the Rams. And, you know, in our defense back in the day, we had a huge responsibility of being very disciplined and hitting into the offensive linemen and trying to protect our linebackers and let them run and make plays. And, you know, it was very successful. So you didn't quibble about it. You just did your job. Even though if I or Steve McMichael or even Richard did a lot more than I, freelance, where on the snap of the ball you could jump around and run behind blocks and do all that. If I did one play, like one play, Buddy Ryan would have my ass on the sideline. Get over here. You're not playing. But you know what? Aaron Donald, they let him go and he'll say, make something happen. And he is, you know, a key to their defense. But, you know, I think he was having an amazing year until he played the Bears, and the Bears did a great job of neutralizing him by double teams with either a chip with the back or the center turning towards him, or sometimes I think we whammed him a time or two to kind of get his attention. That's where a tight end comes in motion, and you don't even see it, and they hit you in the ear hole. So there's ways to control him, but like you said, he's very active. He's not a conventional defensive tackle, and you know where you're thinking he's 6'4", 320 pounds. He's more of a hybrid kind of guy where I think he's like 6'1 and a half, maybe 260, but he's got great quicks, great conditioning and leg drive, and he'll beat you if you let him.
And he's got Steve Cochran upper body strength. I think that's evident. You know, he's that kind of a monster. All right, let's go picks, starting with Sandberg.
I'm going to go with the Patriots 14-14.
Did not see that coming. Andy Major.
I got the Rams in a rather high-scoring game, 34-27.
Steve Grzanich. Steve's microphone not working?
What?
Your pick for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with the Jets. I'll go with the Jets.
You're going with the Jets. Okay, good call. Mary Vandeveld.
Patriots, 31-20.
Andy Mazur.
Rams, 34-27.
Yeah, Rams? Yeah. Wow. Did you do that already?
You already did.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I forgot. I should have changed it.
I'll go quick.
Let me go back to Mazur. What's your pick?
Patriots, 34-27.
I'll say Patriots, and I will say 38-30.
Can I change mine to the Rams? I'll change mine to the Rams.
No, you already picked the Jets.
Jets, all right.
Andy, did you pick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tie game.
I've got the New England Patriots winning yet another Super Bowl, 24-23. Super Joe?
I hate to do it to my boy Tommy, but I'm going to pick the Rams, 31-17.
And Pete will tell us his pick later since he doesn't have a microphone in front of him.
He's outside with the water.
You know, it's going to be 50 on Sunday here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We could have had a Super Bowl. And Hamp, who you got?
Good luck. It'll be 35-35, 50 seconds left in the game. Tom Brady drives Patriots for a winning field goal, 38-35.
How good would that be? I like Hamp and my picks best. And Andy, next time you should pick.
Okay, I'll pick three times.
Thank you, Hamp, and thanks for everything this season. Obviously, we'll talk soon, but, you know, we got an exciting offseason, hopefully, for the Bears. And next year this time, we'll be talking about the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely, and hey, guess what? We signed a kicker, so all things are warming up. Take care. Go Bears.
All right, see you later, man. And again, look for my children's book, Corky the Kicker, coming
Corky
soon.
The Kicker.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1. The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yeah. You know what? We're halfway there. 45 is halfway to 90.
It is.
You're lucky 90 points will make the playoffs. Going to need a little help. But we're halfway there. And you know what? The fat lady hasn't even in line for nachos yet, not let alone singing.
Not even in the arena yet.
At 9:42, it's our friend Pat Boyle from NBC Sportsnet who joins us. So, Pat, we always give away autographed hockey puck with Breakfast with the Blackhawk, but I'd like to add a second level contest here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Since you and Sandberg and the family just got back from vacation, the first correct caller or texter, let's make it a texter, first correct texter who can tell me what Pat found most troubling about his wife's behavior on vacation. The most, I wouldn't say the most annoying thing. The one thing where you looked at her and went, who are you? And how did this happen? The one thing that you found most troubling about how Sandberg behaved on vacation, first correct answer by text at 312-981-7200. I'll give you everything on the prize list.
And by everything, that's a Lou Malnati's gift card and an Apt gift card.
Which means we need to get more prizes, not that those aren't great. all right, so Pat Boyle, am I nuts or is there still a shot here? And all of this, of course, is sponsored by MB Financial Bank.
There is a shot. It's not a great one. I think you're right. About 90 points is probably going to get you the second wild card spot, which is actually comes down in points from years past. It's usually been around 96 or 97, but the way it looks right now, somewhere between 88 and 92 could get you in. They've got 31 games left. They got to go, you know, like 22. You got to win 22 of 31 games, something like that. It's
a lot.
Daunting. Yeah, it's a lot, and you got to leap six teams. That's the other problem. You know, so one of those teams could go on, and they could win, you know, 7 of 10, play 700 hockey the rest of the way and could, you know, end up with 95 points or something like that. So it doesn't look great, but there are some signs that the team has responded. The power play has been fantastic since December 18th. They're the top power play in the league. They're connecting on 40% of their power play opportunities. We've had Kane putting up near MVP numbers from his 2016 season. DeBrincat's been fantastic. So there are some bright spots here, but it's going to be a daunting task to try to make the dance.
You, of course, will have it all on NBC Sportsnet.
NBC Sports Chicago. They dropped the net.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
NBC Sports Chicago?
Yep.
I don't get any of the memos anymore.
I know. Usually they do that for you.
All of that every single night with a bunch of some of the best guys that have played for the Hawks in the past few years surrounding you and interrupting you and telling you things you already knew.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Patrick Sharp has been added to the equation this year. Jamal Mayer, Steve Conroy, Adam Burrish. So
these are good guys.
Yeah, they're great guys. They know the game. I think the female demographic enjoys what they bring to the table as well.
And
we have a lot of fun on there. It's been an interesting season, to say the least.
And I'll say this out loud. I've said it to Pat before, and I've said it to you before. There's nothing Pat says to those guys that he doesn't already know. I mean, he does a brilliant job of making them look smarter than they are. And I know all those guys, so mm-hmm. I can say that out loud.
We were talking about, you know, the Blackhawks are on a bye right now, but if they were doing games at the United Center, Pat's broadcast is right there next to the doors, and it's already cold in the winter because the people come in and out. But if it was this wind chill going into the United Center, they would have had to have long underwear under their suits.
Some of the questions, or before we ask the actual question, some of the suggestions for coming in from texters. Mary complaining about being stuck in Mexico. Mary complaining the sand is dirty. Be careful out there. Mary packing Bounty paper towels so she'd have her own. Mary insisted on making the bed in the hotel room. All of these things, and you'll reveal the actual answer shortly. What's the question?
But just so you know, my mom texted in that she can't imagine anything I did in Mexico was annoying. So that's what my mom said.
Nice.
All right, Timothy Cavanaugh from Forest Park asks you, Pat, who is your favorite Blackhawk from yesteryear? And if you have a question, you can go to WGNradio.com/contest, click on Breakfast with a Blackhawk link, and submit it there.
How about your all-time favorite Blackhawk?
Yeah, from yesteryear.
That's his words.
You know, I never got to see Makita and Hull play, but I'll have to go with Dennis Savard. I think
good call.
Savvy was fantastic, a great passer. He averaged almost an assist per game in his Hawks career. He was creative, gave us a spinorama. He was, you know, he was Kane before Kane in a league that it wasn't offensive friendly at times, the clutching and the grabbing. So I'll go with Dennis Savard. Savvy is my favorite.
And an autograph hockey puck goes out to
Timothy.
Timothy Kavanaugh.
And I think Pat, you know, started with the Philly. Is that right, Pat?
No, I started down in Florida, honey.
No, I know you started in Florida, but I meant the team where you've seen Savvy play.
Have you two met?
Actually, in Tampa. I saw, Dennis Savard down in Tampa. That's
He's been covering Savvy
down there.
Way before he was
Sandberg,
there.
Pat Sandberg. Say hello to him.
Exactly. Yeah. Do we need to get in a fight on the radio? Is that
it'd be fun.
A problem?
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right, so reveal off the air the most troubling thing your wife did on vacation, and we got some great suggestions, and somebody on the text line will win as well, and thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you later. That's NBC Sports Chicago's Pat Boyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to screen those. Whatever I did was annoying.
Everyone was kept on a very tight schedule. She continued to take Steve's calls.
Schedule. Yep.
There's a lot here. No, you're not answering for him. It's what he thought was troubling. Tom Skilling knows what's troubling, and it's the crazy cold outside. The great Tom Skilling is joining us now. Tom, are you with me?
Hello, Steve. Well, Steve, it's official now.
Oh, my God, the phone is frozen.
On the record books here in Chicago, we had a low of 24 below, and it was 10 below. That was the high, and that occurred at midnight. So this is the coldest day in the 148 years of Chicago weather records since back on Christmas Eve Day, 1983.
Congratulations, Mother Nature. You did it.
Coldest day ever.
Hey, Steve, here's another. And by the way, I credit Bill Snyder and Steve Kahn of our staff who have been digging through the stats on that. Here's another interesting stat that puts the rarity of what's going on today in perspective, Steve. We have 54,020 temperatures on the books since 1870 in Chicago, and 17 of 54,000 plus temperatures are all we've seen that have gone below 20 below zero. So
that's crazy.
It's really, really rare territory. It is indeed. And I'm getting pictures of people throwing cups of hot water in the air and producing ice crystals. People's homes are creaking and popping. That's not uncommon. And there are sun dogs showing up. These suspended ice crystals in this bitterly cold air produce optical effects. So you see these halos around the sun with these prism-like sun dogs that show up. And I'll tell you another thing we're going to see, too, are these so-called light pillars. These are vertical shafts of light near sunset and also sunrise. We'll see it again tomorrow because we're going to be colder tonight, or as cold at least, as we were this morning, and within a degree or so of the all-time record low tomorrow morning.
Those light pillars are cool. It's like a refraction from the ice crystals in the air, right?
Yeah, exactly. What it is a shaft of light that emanates from a light source. So if you have street lights or the sun itself or the moon even, you can get these shafts of light that emanate from the light source itself. So that's pretty cool. It's, you know, this is something that normally is only seen up in the Arctic.
Yeah, it's been bananas. And speaking of bananas, Dean Richards froze one because he read on the internet, if you put a banana outside and you let it freeze, you can use it like a hammer. So there's some weather science going on even when you're not in the Channel 9 studios.
You know, it is amazing. Dean Richards, the scientific analyses and research that he conducts back in the WGN entertainment department is really stunning stuff. It really is.
Tom, he called it sub-zero science.
Sub-zero science. I told him to license the name. It's really strong.
I love that.
Yeah. All right. We have many more questions for you. Stand by, my friend. More with Tom Skilling in just a second. The greatest weatherman. You're really the greatest guy in the country. Yeah.
It's amazing. He just made it official. The coldest day in Chicago history.
Awesome.
On the Steve Cochran Show. Breaking news.
Big news. Big news. You know, Trump and I, we like when we break records.
There was a question that we might not get there, but Tom Skilling just said, yes, it is done.
Yeah, we should be very proud.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, we will announce what Pat's greatest annoyance was Sandberg in just a second. Some of the great answers still coming in. Wiping down the TV remote with Lysol every 5 minutes. Forcing Pat to go out and buy white, no-pattern Bounty and Charmin for the hotel room. And this may be my favorite. Mary being caught in the hotel staff laundry, showing the staff how to do the laundry properly. Mm-hmm. That's strong. Tom Skilling rejoins us. All right, Tom. Andy Mazur has a question. Andy, ask Tom. By the way, unlike other big stars, you can look Tom directly in the eyes.
I know. He's been on with us before. He's a great guy. And you know, Tom, I heard something the other day, and I want you to confirm this or deny this. Did they change the formula for computing the wind chill factor?
Yes, they did, Andy. It happened in 2001. And that's made a big difference. The wind chill numbers now are more conservative than they were under the old system. For instance, on the 25th of, I'm sorry, 1985, on January 20th, when we hit 27 below, there was a wind chill of 93 below calculated in that. Today, that wind chill would be more like 57 below, using the same wind and temperature. So we think the current wind chill is more a more accurate reflection. And by the way, something about wind chills here, they apply only to human flesh, not to your radiator. The one thing wind will do with a radiator or another inanimate outdoor object is it will carry any heat with that object away more quickly. But the wind chill effect is due to the evaporation of moisture, which is unique to human flesh. So you actually get a temperature. This isn't some number we come up with to hype the cold. You actually get a lower temperature when you evaporate moisture from your skin. You see that every time you get out of a swimming pool or a bathtub and you reach for the towel quickly because you're feeling cold and you want to dry off. That's evaporative cooling. That's taking the heat away from your skin. And in a day like this, the wind blowing against your skin really removes the heat and produces evaporative cooling. So you get a temperature that actually is lower than the thermometer reading at the time.
Of course it is. And wind chill is also a measurement that determines the safety of you when you're out in it, because the number that we hear and the number we need to know determines how long you can survive in it with starting to damage your vital organs.
You're absolutely right. Steve, this was developed in Antarctica, and I'll tell you when they put it into widespread use was during the Korean War. Our military was finding that our people were getting frostbite, and they were surprised given the temperatures and all that were occurring, and they realized the wind temperature combination were more severe in terms of the effects on human flesh than the thermometer readings were indicating. So this came into fairly widespread use at that time.
How about that? By the way, Tom and I are going to do a podcast on climate change coming up. And for anybody that comes up to you today and goes, where's the global warming?
Alive and well. Steve, here's the fact. You know, we're in the coldest pocket of air relative to normal temperatures on the planet. The only other air mass close to it is eastern Siberia. The rest of the planet, from by and large, is running above normal. They've had street-melting 121-degree heat in Australia. And Australia, in the last week, and Australia's as big as the whole lower 48.
Sure.
But the fact is, the planet is basically warmer than normal, our cold notwithstanding. So the lesson from that is, don't look out your window and presume what you're seeing reflects what's going on over the whole planet. Global warming is alive and well, and to refute it based on this cold wave is just wrong.
Yes. Climate change is worldwide. Weather is local. Weather is temporary.
Right.
Climate change is a trend. I mean, how many times did Tom and I have to go over this?
Exactly, Steve. This is a weather event. It's not a climate event. If this started happening every week for the next several years and decades, then that would be that would refute climate change science.
Sure.
It isn't going to happen. And in fact, the temperature between tomorrow morning and Sunday will increase nearly 70 degrees. We're going to go to rain and 43 on Sunday. That's an amazing bounce back from this cold air that will grip us for two or three days and then give rise to much warmer temperatures this weekend.
It's bananas. And if it's 50 Monday, that's 100-degree temperature swing in how it feels.
That's
crazy. My daughter's moving into her first house tomorrow.
Oh, Steve, is there any way she can put that off?
It was supposed to be today, and I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow's the improvement.
Mm. Yeah. Well, tomorrow we go to a balmy 2 above in the afternoon.
That's what I'm talking about, buddy.
Yeah, and 20-plus below again tomorrow morning.
It's crazy, and it's nothing to mess around with. This isn't hyperbole. Again, please take the warnings seriously and stay out of it if you can. Tommy, I know you got a long day at the Weather Hub. Thanks for jumping on.
Steve, Steve. It is always a pleasure to talk with my pal, Steve Cochran. I'll tell you. Good to talk to you, Steve.
You're the best.
Say hi to everybody.
You got it. That's Tom Skilling.
Thanks, Tom.
Proving again what a horrific diva he can be.
He broke news. Officially the coldest day in the history of Chicago.
It's like talking to Santa Claus on Christmas Eve.
It's the best. It's the best. He makes 50 below wind chills fun.
Yes.
No, not really. Sorry. Someone has to be the voice of reason.
Someone has to push back on the hyperbole, yeah.
Did you walk outside?
Yes, I was out with the dog this morning.
Did you consider killing the dog?
No, but boy, his paws froze like almost immediately. Yeah, I've never seen him do his business so quickly.
Yeah, and by the way, we didn't talk about pets at all this morning, and partly because if you own one, I hope you're logical enough to be careful with them and take care of them and have them outside and minimally, you know, mostly because you don't want to be out there. So it's one of those things I would hope we wouldn't have to remind you of.
Do you want to know my most annoying thing?
The most annoying
Welcome
thing
back,
is.
Mary.
Thank you very much.
The most annoying thing is.
He said, my whole entire sleep routine, the sleep mask, up at 5. Also, my work alarm went off while we were there.
It's all sleep related.
All sleep related. And once I'm up, I'm on my phone checking, answering emails and things.
We
I do announce to the room. I said, okay, I'm going to sleep. And I put my sleep mask on, and then I put my head under a pillow.
And under a pillow?
Yeah, and then they were all eating Lay's chips, you know, in, like, gummy lifesavers, and I'm listening to Pat ask Catherine, can I get more of those chips? And I'm, like, got a pillow over my head with my sleep mask on trying to sleep, so I'm real fun on vacation.
How long before should we go to separate rooms? I mean, a couple of weeks, tops.
Yeah.
We had a couple people suggest sleep stuff, so yeah, you go ahead and award that.
Yep.
Okay, and that's an app gift card.
Though somebody did suggest that I hate being away from a washer and dryer, and they are correct.
Standing by. Look, we know she's nuts.
You are so weird.
Standing by for stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is Steve. Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Oh, cold, Steve.
Did you walk, too?
Yeah.
From?
From Evanston.
It's too cold. Seem wise.
Why did I do that? I have a car. It's ridiculous.
My idiot friend Pat Brady walked from the East Bank Club.
I heard that.
Did he really?
And didn't have to.
No,
he chose
didn't
to.
Didn't have to.
He wanted to experience the coldest day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So he came in here and I slapped him and he crumbled. He crumbled like a Daffy Duck. Remember?
the accordion crumble?
Yeah, the accordion crumble.
Oh, no.
Just little pieces on the ground. What are you? You guys talking cold today a little bit?
It might come up for
Who's going to warm it up?
Well, Marion Ross is with us, TV's Mrs. C.
She's great.
Yeah. Yes.
She is Betty White, old lady funny.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know.
She's good. By the way, Marion Ross got a little dirty streak in her, so have fun.
Does she really?
Yeah. It's funny.
Oh. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get her on sooner. She was scheduled for 11:30, but see if we can get her
warm
in a little
Warm it up
earlier.
Even earlier.
Yes.
All right, I'm glad you're both alive.
Thanks,
Stay alive.
Steve.
We will find you. See you tomorrow.